It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
There we go. Let's try and make this happen.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's Tuesday morning. That's how we initiate the conversation now. Because you watch enough television, you watch enough, like, Crossfire, CNN, MSNBC, the news on almost any channel, CNBC.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's all it is, all the time. Mark Riley, how are you?
All right, man, how you doing?
I'm all right, man, except I'm not that good, outside of the fact that I don't have a spoon, but that's not an issue. That's not an issue. I don't want to be one of those, you know, personalities or whatever the hell I am. I don't want to be one of those people. Like, we do a lot of work here in the morning.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
We're working all morning to get the information together, to get it, you know, in stacks, to get it in piles, to get it in our heads, to get it on the computer, to get the you know, it's very important that I have the little faceplate that goes on the fun machine so I can go
blah, 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 blah.
And know that that's happening and know where it is.
Yes.
Right, so after, you know, it takes us, you know, to converge on the point of the beginning of the show takes a lot of manpower.
Yes.
And in my head, you know, like about a half hour ago, I said, said to Brendan, our one of our producers, could someone just give me a spoon? Right. So all this stuff is going on. Papers are coming in. We got computers going. Things are happening. And like, I'm like, where's my spoon?
No spoon.
And I don't want to be one of those people. It's like, Marin, his spoon. I mean, you know, God forbid he can't eat his yogurt for a half hour. What's it, Marin? You know, I don't want to be one of those guys.
Oh, eat with your fingers.
I can hear the guy somewhere out in the world going, what are they doing? Why does he talk about the issues? I wish that guy would call again just so we could talk to him. We're going to get to the issues. But my issue right now happens to be my wife calls me yesterday afternoon from Los Angeles. Like, I talked to her three times in the morning. She's having her coffee. I talked to her, like, at least 10 times a day. She's having her coffee. She's doing this. She's doing that. You know, and then she calls to tell me that someone came into the house while she was sleeping. All right, last night, or early in the morning, because she didn't go to bed till 4, because she said she was, quote, watching television. All right, she didn't go to bed till 4, but someone came into the house, through the door, took her purse, left, with the keys to the house, with her money, her wallet, her credit cards, right?
Everything.
Right. So my first reaction, because I know she was all right, because I'd already talked to her four times, was, of course, like, why is the door open? You know, they left the door open, you know, and of course, that's the wrong reaction.
Yes.
The right reaction is like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm so scared. You know what I mean? But I felt bad that I reacted that way. But I went into crisis mode. You know what I mean? It was sort of like, I was like, why was the door open? Then I got past that. And then all of a sudden, I was like, you know, at mission control, it's like, we have to secure the environment. You have to get the new locks down. We've got to, you know, what are we going to do about the cars? You have to club the cars because I, you know, so that was the whole afternoon. But I, of course, I'm glad she's okay, and I'm glad nothing weird happened. I guess it was probably some dope fiends running around because apparently, here's the good thing: cops came, they were very cool. They dusted, they came and dusted later.
Locksmiths
came, yeah. She changed all the locks and everything. But now, like, you know, I'm reading the blog, you know, and see, here's how my brain goes, right? The guy's talking about, like, Dale Earnhardt. What's that?
Dale Earnhardt, yeah.
Yeah.
The
Dale
NASCAR
Earnhardt
guy.
Well, there's speculation on our blog here at morningsedition.com is that Dale Earnhardt, you know, his car crashed, and apparently last week he went to see Fahrenheit 9/11. So someone out there speculating in a very Marin-esque kind of way was like, you know, maybe they put the screws to him, right? So we got Dale Earnhardt, escapes fiery crash, Whoopi Goldberg, fired from SwimFast, Linda Ronstadt was basically run off stage in Vegas for supporting Michael Moore, right?
That should be a badge of honor, by the way, getting run off any stage in Vegas.
Yeah, it's not clear whether it was because she said something about Michael Moore or it was the Cole Porter medley that she did earlier. It's speculation.
Get off the stage!
Not that I have anything against Cole Porter, but, you know, people want to hear the hits, you know what I mean? And now this, you know, someone walks into my home and takes my wife's purse while she's sleeping. Creepy stuff.
You know, that happened to me once. A long, 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 long time ago, I came in from a party about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, fell out, woke up, and my wallet was gone.
Someone came into your house?
Somebody actually did. They came in through the window.
Open.
No, came in through the window. Came in through a wide open. We lived on the second floor.
Yeah.
Wide open second floor window. Came in through the window, went out through the front door. And left the front door open. But you know what happens? And this is something you have to think about with your wife. The first answer. It couldn't have happened. That's the first thing. You get into deep. I couldn't have left my purse here. I couldn't have left my wallet here and it not be here when I wake up. The first thing that happens is you deny that something like this could even happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And the thing was, it's like, of course I didn't want to blame her, but and it gives me the creeps that these guys were wandering around. But what I was saying was the cops came, and apparently when the cops were at our house, some neighbors came from around the corner and said that, you know, we have a neighborhood watch. I just did the you know twice. Sorry. Mm. I got to not do the you know. We, you know, the neighbor came around the corner and said, don't worry, we have a neighborhood watch. Some people saw two guys leaving some other woman's house at that hour in the morning and took the license plate down, so hopefully my wife's going to, you know, check into it. But I get that feeling like, you know, I get the creeps because when I live down on Avenue B, mm-hmm. on 2nd Avenue, you know, next to the heroin.
Oh, down Lower East Side, actually.
I'm just, you know, and all over the place. You know, I think that we should just, you know.
Don't worry about it.
All right, so when I was on 2nd Street, what happened was I parked my car accidentally in front of the drug business.
Oh, that was smart.
Right, so I get outside, and the guys, there are four guys in my car going through my car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And dare you to do anything about it.
Exactly. I'm like, this is my car.
Like, yeah.
All right,
we're almost done.
We're almost done here. Yeah. You know, and it keeps you the creeps, man. Did you ever see Straw Dogs with Dustin Hoffman?
No.
All the locals are like, you know, they're raping his wife. They're like getting into his house, and they're all just sort of like, hey, how's it going? And he knows it's them.
Yeah.
Horrible feeling. You know what? I've given myself the creeps. I got to go to California right now. I'm leaving.
Sorry, no flights this early.
So is it true that the Republicans have pushed Nader over the top in Michigan?
They're very close to pushing Nader over the top. He has submitted 50,000 signatures, and the state requires 30,000. Now, they had, and here's the funny part. Ralph Nader had collected only 5,400 signatures in Michigan, but stopped collecting them over a month ago.
Right.
And then a month later, they turn up with 50,000 signatures. The Democrats are upset because they say that the Republicans have illegally contributed to Nader's campaign by helping him through this petition process. And this, by the way, is only one state. After he stopped his petition effort, you know, there was a split in the Reform Party, which is the party he was trying to run on, apparently, in Michigan.
Right.
And it was there was no certainty he would even get on the ballot. And Michigan, obviously, is a very crucial state.
So they're trying to fund Nader to make him the wedge, to guarantee that there's a wedge between mm-hmm. Kerry and the presidency. Right?
Yeah. Well, see, they're not doing overt fundraising in this instance. This is really just ballot access, getting him on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really apparently pulling out all the stops. There was an article from the Detroit News that was actually posted on the state Republican Party website that quotes the executive director of the Republican Party in Michigan saying, quote, we are absolutely interested in having Ralph Nader on the ballot, unquote.
I wonder, well, of course they are. The Republican, of course they are.
But now, see, that's the flip side, Mark. Why would Ralph Nader, a man who has built his reputation on principle,
yeah.
why would he accept help from people who he has lobbied and spoken out against and criticized for 40 years? Corporate America, as manifest, you don't necessarily have to say that corporate America is manifested only in the Republican Party, but certainly the Republican Party is the party of big business, Republican Party is the party of corporate America, and Ralph Nader has been the antithesis of corporate America.
Well, either he's rationalizing or he really believes that there are Republicans that are voting for him. I mean, that's what his defense is generally, is that these guys are on the fence too. I'm getting a lot of people from the Republican Party that aren't happy with their party and they're voting for me, which seems ridiculous.
He knows that's nuts.
And I think that what Nader stands for, it's all good stuff. He's got a lot of good points. We've got to integrate it into the Democratic Party ticket. I've had this friend, you know, I've argued with my buddy Lipsight, you know, about this, mm-hmm. saying that he should pull out. And Lipsight's like, no, he shouldn't. It's important. And I'm like, and of course, Sam doesn't talk like that. But you
know, let's hope.
But that's what I heard.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, don't be stupid, man. Yeah. But I think that clearly, you know, he should reassess. You know, he is being a little selfish, I think. And I don't think he should pull out, but I don't think any Democrats should vote for him because, honestly, everything he's saying is true, and all the stuff that he's working for is stuff that we should be working for. But you know what? This administration really has to go. It really has to go. There's not a day that doesn't go by where I don't get completely creeped out by this administration that's in. And if people think Kerry's not going to quite do the job or that he's just like Bush, they're just wrong.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. But see, now it's going to be incumbent on Kerry to expose this about Nader. See, I don't have a problem with Nader being in the race. But and John Kerry last week said very clearly, I want to make Ralph Nader unnecessary. I like that. I want John Kerry to run against Ralph Nader and ask Ralph Nader the question, how can you accept help from these people?
Yeah.
Well, as a man of principle, how do you do that?
Right.
All right. You're in the race. You should be exposed to the same kind of scrutiny and the same kind of questions as any other candidate in the race, and you need to answer that.
Right. And there's a lot of people that think that Nader is the right guy because we need a third party, and it's important for democracy. We're going to actually, we've got a caller on the line who's a Nader voter.
Okay.
So why don't we talk to him when we come back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Do you dread spending another summer in your old, dreary kitchen? Then bring it to dazzling life again with cabinet refacing from Sears Home Services. Call 1-800-448-6600 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save 15% on select styles. Sears Cabinet Refacing can transform your kitchen without the time, expense, or mess of building all new cabinets. In about 4 to 6 days, your old kitchen can have new elegance, just the way you imagine, with your choice of hundreds of decorator styles. Services and materials are provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing at 1-800-448-6600 and save 15% on select styles. Offer ends July 31st. Some restrictions apply. Ask your consultant for offer details and written warranty. So call Sears Cabinet Refacing now at 1-800-448-6600.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy to learn. You simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
You know, it's like 20 past the hour, you know? I got to stop that. My producer just came in and said, I think there was a linguist who did a study on you know. So you've got your homework, bloggers.
Yeah, right?
I'm kidding, man. Thanks for all the input, and I will get a German Shepherd. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
I'm Mark Maron. I'm going to let my wife get a dog. We're talking about Ralph Nader, and we've got Larry on the phone listening to LIB. How are you, Larry?
Hey, Larry.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
All right, how you doing?
So what's your angle?
My angle is this, that it's clear to me that Nader is the best man running. I mean, this is a man who has a track record of facing large corporations and winning. He took on General Motors in, I think, 1970, single-handedly, and he won. And he, since then, has been, you know, working for the consumers' rights in this country.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be doing that.
Okay, but over the rights of over the large corporations. I don't hear Kerry talking about this. I mean, he talks in glaring generalities, and, you know, I don't know what he's going to do. I really think that Nader's the best man, number one. Number two, for those who say that, well, it's going to give the vote to Kerry, look, if Nader got the coverage that Kerry and Bush get, then, and his message got out, I think that he would win handily over the other two, because he's the only one who is acknowledging that the corporations own our political process.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and we'll address that. Thanks for your call, Larry.
But wait a minute, Larry, let me answer a real quick question. Let me ask you something real quick here. How does that square with taking help from the Republican Party? The very people, the representatives of the very corporations that he's been working against for the last four decades.
I understand your point, and I don't disagree with it, but I would say this, that if he is getting help from them to get the message out to eventually, I don't think that Nader is going to use that money to...
It's not money. Not what we're talking about here is not money. It is ballot access.
Okay, well, I don't think that... Look, I don't think that Nader is going to kowtow to the Republicans. I'm sure of that. His whole track record is strongly against what the Republicans
are. I don't think he's going to kowtow either, but, I mean, he's going to use them to get what he wants, is to get on the ballot. And I understand what you're saying, but don't you think that at this point in history, you know, that the condition that this, the economy's in, the condition that, you know, the culture is in, the world is at war, there's complete instability, that what we really have to do is get somebody like George Bush out at any cost, get somebody like Kerry in who can reinstitute, you know, international unity on the level of fighting terrorism and being a collective as far as a planet goes, and then we can address some of these issues that Nader are talking about. I mean, I don't think Nader's wrong.
If I can respond, I'll be happy to. You know, the first thing you mentioned there is terrorism. Look, I think there are a lot more important issues than that. I think that this has become a red herring, a red flag.
But not terrorism. We have a completely destabilized situation that's, you know, pervading the entire Middle East. It's not just terrorism, and that's the last of it.
I don't disagree, but who was it who said that the American people don't respond unless it hits them in the stomach? Maybe they need to hit rock bottom. Maybe they need another Bush administration to really see that they better get off their butts.
Oh, so now you're saying that Bush should be reelected?
No, I'm not.
I feel that I can see the bottom, and it's coming up quick, Larry.
Well, it could be worse. I mean, look, this Patriot Act is terrible, in my opinion, but I could see possible dictatorship in here. Who was it? Jefferson?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, but, like, you're saying that, like, that Nader should be, you know, continually, you know, taking votes away from the alternative. I don't think that Kerry is going to run a Christo-fascist dictatorship.
No, but he voted for the war, for example, and I don't hear him saying anything that nearly relates to what Nader is talking about. One quick thing, I know you're short on time. Here's a scenario.
He voted for the war on false pretenses. He voted to authorize the war because, you know, the information that was being given to him by his president was a lie.
People were lied to.
Well, related to that lie, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, you know that we are the nation with the most weapons of mass destruction of all. We can have them, but nobody else can. Here's a scenario, a quick one, and then I'll let you go, or you let me go. I suggest this. Watch and see if this doesn't happen, that 3 weeks before the election, they suddenly find in a big media outroar weapons of mass destruction hidden in the middle of the desert of Iraq, and suddenly that tosses a Bush in the election.
Three weeks
after the election, they discover that from the serial numbers and the radium dating, etc., that they were CIA, they were American.
People have been speculating that about that for, over 2 years, but I mean, and I understand what you're saying, but everything that you're saying to me is that at any cost, this administration needs to be taken out, and I think that Nader should honor those costs and should, you know, play along with Kerry, and then, you know, hopefully we can integrate Nader's platform into the Democratic process, but Kerry we need to get rid of Bush.
See, my thing is, why are the Republicans, and I think Ralph Nader must have asked himself this question, why would the Republican Party have any interest whatsoever in Ralph Nader? The fact is, they don't. The fact is, their interest is self-interest.
No, I know.
Larry can't get past Nader accepting this help. At a point, you have to stop there.
Well, I think that Larry is not unlike, you know, Nader supporters, and like all of us, on some level, support what Ralph Nader is saying.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's a progressive agenda. It's an anti-corporate agenda. It forces corporations to take responsibility for how they're hurting people and how they're destroying the world and the economy and everything else. But on some, it just seems to me that the essence of this election really is to get Bush out of office, because he is dangerous in such a protracted way. Like, you know, for if he gets in the office again, if he gets another 4 years, we could be in trouble forever. The world can end, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I agree with you. My thing is simply this. If Halliburton came to Ralph Nader and said, look, we want to help you get on the ballot in a couple of the states that you're not currently on, but would he take their help? Would he have, when the head of the Michigan Republican Party says, I am personally going out and passing petitions for Ralph Nader, somebody has a question to answer there.
Well, they're making a fool out of him, and he thinks, you know, he wants to spin it in his mind, whether he's serious or not, I don't know, that, you know, there are Republicans that want to vote for Nader, which, you know, is not the case. He's being used. You want to talk to Peter?
Sure.
Peter in New York, LIB, what's up?
Hey, Peter.
Hello.
What's up?
What's on your mind, Peter?
Hello?
Yes, you're here.
Don't listen to the delay. Peter?
Hello?
Hello?
All right.
Wow, I guess he must be not quite caffeinated yet, is
it? Where do we go now? How about
Robert!
Robert in Tennessee on Sirius.
Hey.
What's up, Robert?
Good morning.
How
morning.
You doing?
Say, I have a little different slant on this and might be interesting. I voted for Ralph in the past.
Yeah.
I have a high respect for him. However, I agree that this election is special. The Reich wing of American politics is very dangerous.
Yes.
I would be in favor of a third party, but I think instant runoff might be more important.
Yeah.
But more to the point, I think Americans are compromised people. They look for the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And in the past, the Democrats have been painted as radical and left when actually they've been very centrist.
Yeah, that's a spin that they put on us.
Yeah.
Oh, he left. I feel like we cut him off a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, listen, thank you for calling. That's for sure.
No, sorry about that, Robert. The
whole idea that America is kind of accepting second best out of its political establishment is something that we could probably spend an entire week's worth of shows on, because you could make a very good argument for that, that we really are getting what we deserve when we got George W. Bush.
I guess, but I mean, I think if more people mobilize, more people get out and vote, more people dissent, more people, you know, get activated, that they can't beat the spirit of America if America rises up in anger. I think that a lot of the people that support this administration are sort of tough love, hating people that, you know, would rather have a narrow point of view than, you know, be actually democratic and think in the broad way that democratic people are supposed to think.
Very good point. And by the way, that small D Democrat. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, a presidential ticket as a comedy team, plus from the Streisand compound, the liberal agenda. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Philippines government has confirmed the release of hostage Angela de la Cruz from Iraqi insurgents who captured him 2 weeks ago. Confirmation came from Philippines President Gloria Arroyo this morning. President declined to discuss criticism she encountered for her decision to meet the demands of kidnappers. There was yet another political assassination in Iraq this morning. The victim was a candidate for governor in Basra. Nearly as many U.S. soldiers lost their lives in Iraq in the first half of July as in all of June, even as Iraqi insurgents seem to have shifted focus from attacking U.S. targets to aiming instead at Iraqi security forces and government officials. And the president's poll numbers are showing no sign of progress with just 4 months before the election. There's word this morning that President George W. Bush is losing Arab American votes in four battleground states. The decline in popularity was revealed by the Arab American Institute. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Do your part to help the economy of Air America Radio. Log on to airamericaradio.com for t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, tote bags, and more. Just click on our Get the Gear banner and spend, spend, spend!
Do you have an Air America Radio dog shirt?
Yes, we do have a dog shirt, but be careful how you say dog shirt. The FCC is listening.
Air America dog shirts. I really stepped in it now.
Air America Radio gear. Wear the air.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
The Majority Report.
Why would you want scientists going to AIDS conference?
Well, because scientists could actually maybe find a cure for AIDS. And everybody who controls the Republican Party knows that gays get AIDS because God is
smiting them.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Hell, let's go all the way back to the Spanish tradition. You know they had a thing called the pear, Sam, that they would put in your rectum and crank it on a crank? Bush is pro-pear.
Pro-pear.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is here.
Good morning.
We're hanging out.
Yep.
Presidential Palm Pilot just got sent to me by my guy Jerry in the Oval Office. Ramon is, I mean, he's not, he's off. He's working the kitchen detail.
Sabbatical.
Yeah, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up in a cold sweat. Meeting with economic advisors in 1 hour. Damn it. Why is everyone so hung up on money? I never worried about it. 8:05 a.m. Meet with economic advisors, then meet with economic spin advisors. We've turned the corner. Yes, we have. 11 a.m., leave White House for Midwest. Put on leather flight jacket for 10-minute helicopter ride. Make funny helicopter noise in backseat. What is that? What is that? Okay, here we go. At 12:40 p.m., speak at Community College, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tell students, this is my kind of college. Not like Yale with all those snotty eggheads, stupid glasses, and books. 3 p.m., use infrared laser on helicopter to cut weird crop circles into their cornfields. Note, hit Congress up for new weapon system to fight alien invaders. 5:30 p.m., speak at rally, St. Charles, Missouri. Big closer, unveiling a 50-foot Michael Moore pinata. Hand out re-elect Bush Cheney bats, leave quietly during bloody candy riot. Nice. Then at 5 p.m., arrive back at White House lawn. Moon traffic helicopter near the Washington Monument. There you go. 10:30 p.m., bedtime, think happy thoughts. Cornfields, candy, Republicans. Good day. All right. All right.
There you go.
That's an old one, isn't it? It's good, though. On the phone right now, we've got a fella. He's a professor of English at Suffolk County Community College. His book is called Mixed Nuts, America's Love Affair with Comedy Teams from Burns and Allen to Belushi and Aykroyd. That will be published in October. He's got a new Salon.com piece called Laughing All the Way to the White House. He wants to talk about the president and vice president as a comedy team. Well, let's see how this goes. Larry Epstein, good morning.
Good morning to you both.
How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I mean, I have to admit that any sort of laughter I get out of Bush and Cheney these days is tempered by complete fear and the realization that deep down they're evil, which doesn't mean they're not funny.
I mean, sometimes the two go together, right?
I've been
just telling me Frankenstein.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, but the one they didn't release was Abbott and Costello Meet Hitler. So what is your take on this? Who's the straight man? Who's the setup guy?
Well, this started when I was doing research for the book, and like three people in a row said to me, are you including Bush and Cheney? And so I dismissed it as funny. And then I said, wait a minute. You can think of these guys. In fact, you can think of all the presidents and vice presidents as a comedy team. Well, this was an easy one. I mean, Bush always likes to joke around. He does the misstatements. He mangles language like some of the great comedians.
Yeah, he's the doofus.
So he's the standard comedian. And is there a straighter guy than Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
All right. So this one was easy. And then once I had that all set, I began to think of some others. Well,
okay.
It turns out that you have Jack Kennedy joking around. And Lyndon Johnson never joking around.
Right.
And it kept going.
Because he wanted to be president.
That was it. And so I began to look then at obviously Senator Kerry and Senator Edwards, and I said, well, wait a minute. Kerry's not going to be the comic. This is a guy who's serious, he's intelligent, he's in charge, this is a straight man.
Yeah.
But, and I said, Edwards could do it, he's got the smile. But he doesn't yet have the jokes. And that was really what prompted the article.
And if he doesn't get the jokes, he can always wear the goofy shoes and the clown nose. And I think we're overlooking the hilarity of the Nixon and Agnew ticket.
That's right. Well, sometimes, they do crack you up. Don't forget to go back to the Eisenhower and Nixon ticket. He was on a couple of really hilarious teams. Sometimes you have teams with no comic, and those teams don't work well. I mean, sometimes, look at the George Herbert Walker Bush and Dan Quayle. You had a failed comic as vice president.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
He was the brunt of people's humor not in control of his humor. We're talking to Larry Epstein, his Salon.com piece, Laughing All the Way to the White House. Now, I mean, but Cheney tries to make jokes on his own, and clearly these guys aren't funny, and most of their jokes are at the expense of the planet. In some respects. But how do you see Kerry and Edwards panning out in terms of, like, I haven't seen any of them be... Well, Kerry's actually been funnier than Edwards.
And notice, he's been funnier only after Edwards joined the ticket. That is, Edwards, in a way, loosened him up. And I think that's kind of an interesting dynamic that could only work at a team level. I think they have the potential to be, right now they're at the crossroads. Does Edwards choose to be a second straight man on the ticket, or does he choose to be a comic and start telling jokes? The argument in the piece in Salon is, as a team, they're going to do better if Edwards starts to loosen up.
Now, what do you think, why do you think comedy is useful in politics?
It deflates pomposity. It helps people relax. A lot of people do not want to listen to policy wonk after policy wonk. They want to have it broken up. Now, obviously, you don't want to just have a joke after joke after joke. One line in the piece I said, you could have, if you have two comics on a ticket, it would be like Stan Laurel describing his team as two minds without a single thought.
Right.
We don't need this.
Right. But also comedy, especially from this administration, is used to, you know, to belittle and to trivialize and to make it seem like things aren't as dire and screwed up, and also to assault, you know, the other side.
Comedy team can really be used as a very effective weapon. I think you're absolutely right. It can be very satirical. And when you're out of office, I mean, the point of getting into office is sort of to make fun, to mock the authority of the person in office, to reduce their power so you have a chance to beat them.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Larry. It seems good talking to you.
Okay.
The book is called Mixed Nuts, America's Love Affair with Comedy Teams from Burns and Allen to Belushi and Aykroyd, and also on Salon.com today. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing to assess them as a comedy team, but it's hard for me.
Well, Dick Cheney actually have a sense of humor? I mean,
you know, it's weird. He does have a demonic, horrifying sense of humor, and he has a very deliberate timing. You know, that comment, I'm going to have to go wash my mouth out with you know soap, and we'll be back after this break. Okay.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they were the first center to teach this state-of-the-art technology. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Past the hour. I got my spoon. It came in an envelope.
There you go.
It said, spoon for Marin, urgent delivery. I've got Mark Riley here with me. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. If you're just tuning in, welcome aboard.
That's right. Welcome truckers. Welcome bloggers. Welcome website watchers.
We've been on the road in this building for 43 minutes now.
That's right.
It's been powerful. So we just talked to Larry Epstein about the sense of humor or the comedy duo of Bush and Cheney, but Cheney wasn't so funny when he was lashing out at the vice president. We do have sound on that, don't we?
We do have. Actually, he was going after both of them, Kerry and Edwards.
But he got a little confused.
Yeah.
Which I think was a joke.
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. But he said, you know what he said? He's saying that they're both too close to trial lawyers to affect any sort of meaningful tort reform. Now, I don't know about you, Marin, but the tort reform thing makes my head hurt.
I understand the spin. Let's hear the sound bite, and I'll riff on a little bit of the spin. As far as I understand this tort reform to be, I've been given some information. I've been working on it, so let's see if we can flesh that out after we listen to the devil.
They don't want to see reform of that system. I think it's because, frankly, they are too close to the plaintiff's attorneys that benefit from the system and the way it operates today.
You know, he sounds different.
Sorry,
like every time you hear him, he
did I interrupt
different.
The soundbite?
No, man. I mean, this, you know,
with the evil music.
Well, is that evil music?
Kinda, isn't that?
Yeah, that's from the Wizard of Oz.
It was pretty. That was the creepy part. I mean, when he saw the weird flying monkeys.
Yeah. Well, are you saying that Cheney is a weird flying monkey?
I wish he was that. Well, he's taking a shot at them on this malpracticing.
Yeah, saying that, you know, they're too close to the trial lawyers.
And the problem with the tort reform thing is that, from what I understand, what the Bush administration wants to do is put caps on the amount of money that could be paid out to plaintiffs in these lawsuits, malpractice lawsuits against corporations or lawsuits against corporations. They are defending the corporations, and they're trying to make it seem like What's happening is that malpractice insurance and malpractice settlements are breaking the bank.
The bank, which they're not.
No, apparently, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, costs for malpractice lawsuits represent less than 2% of the nation's total health care spending. And the tort reform legislation pushed by President Bush would reduce health insurance premiums by less than one-half of 1%. See, if they put caps on it, what it does is it limits the individual's ability to effectively take on corporate injustice. And we've known from history that if corporations are left alone to pursue whatever it is that they want to do, they're going to be corrupting and evil and bad.
Now, what was
not
that percentage?
All of them.
No, not all of them. But what was that percentage you just read?
2%. So if they know that, I guess the real issue is if corporations know that they only have, that at worst they're only going to pay out, they're only going to take a hit for a couple hundred grand, what would deter them from anything? If they know that they can take a hit for millions and millions of dollars and have a public relations scandal that would, you know, eviscerate their ability to make money. Is that the good word to use? They would, you know, maybe heed a little bit. So what Bush wants to do is take away the individual's power to keep corporate entities in line. And what he's masking it is as the trial lawyers, you know, are just jacking up the prices and taking these suits to benefit themselves. That may be true for some lawyers. Okay.
For somebody, the guys that are on TV during Jerry Springer, yeah, I don't know.
They're bad lawyers, they're bad doctors, but we can't underestimate that they want to sympathize and work for the corporation's ability to continue making money without being just. And they also, this malpracticing, they don't take into task, they don't take to task the insurance companies who can voluntarily jack up prices at their whims if they're, you know, individual, if the insurance company's investments are not doing well in the market. Do you understand?
Oh, no, that I understand. And see, my thing is simply this. Companies consider certain levels of fines simply the cost of doing business. You will hear people that run certain companies in this country who will tell you that, for example, fines on environmental issues are simply the cost of doing business. In other words, if you're going to pump, you know, 200,000 gallons of toxic water into a river someplace,
right,
they fine you 30 grand, no big deal. You're going to dump it again.
They do that all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not even on the individual level. That's on a state level,
that's
right?
That's on a state level. So when you start looking at putting a cap on lawsuits, and by the way, lawsuits that are just, what they're saying in essence is, we don't trust juries to make these kinds of awards because we think juries make excessive awards because they don't like corporations.
Right. Well, they're blaming the attorneys of being greedy and exploiting any opportunity to take to task a corporation that could, you know, pay out big. But
yeah,
Here's some of the stuff that was changed. Like, women dying from toxic shock syndrome after using superabsorbent tampons, okay? The corporate misconduct in that case, that it was Playtex willfully disregarded studies and medical reports linking products to toxic shock. So the benefit of that case was the deadly product was removed from the market after a $10 million punitive award. So that was a just, you know what I mean? That was reasonable. To hell with them, you know? Because it's like that old thing about, you know, when something's wrong with a car that they put out.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
That was how he made his reputation, was on the Corvair in the mid-1960s.
Was that they would say that, what do we stand to lose if we keep the ones that are out there on the market?
That's right.
Man, that stuff is heinous.
That's really what happened that led to the idea of recalling cars. Because you're right. In the 1960s, something went wrong with a car. They did a cost-benefit analysis. And if it didn't make sense, if it didn't make economic sense, they left those cars out there. It wasn't until people started renting those big product liability lawsuits, in the late 60s, early 1970s, that's when it started to change. That's when the company started to say, you know what, rather than having to pay out these huge amounts, we'll bring the cars back and fix the problem and bring them back to their owners.
It happens on all levels. And if they put caps on these settlement possibilities, then it really denies the individual's right and also the lawyer's right, who's fighting for the right reason, to take to task these corporations. Right, Tylenol, here's one. Tylenol turns toxic, destroying liver when mixed with alcohol, okay? I don't know what the date is on that, but the corporate misconduct in that case was Johnson & Johnson knew of the danger for years, yet instructed agents not to mention it to clients. So $8.8 million award spurs company to put warnings on its products.
Well, why is that excessive? Is $8 million in that instance, when it's costing people's lives, why would that? And see, the other thing is that they fundamentally, for all of these people who talk about the sanctity of our legal system, all right, and the jury is central to that sanctity, but yet they don't trust juries. Why? Why can't they think that a jury can achieve justice in this case?
The same reason that, people don't trust voters. You know, I have to put faith in people to change things. We'll be back with the liberal agenda and other stuff in a minute here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Denny's celebrates a new take on the fairy tale movie called A Cinderella Story, starring Hilary Duff. Most fairy tales end with happily ever after, but this one ends with new happily ever after meals at Denny's. Right now, when you buy a happily ever after meal, you get a full-size limited edition A Cinderella Story movie poster absolutely free. While supplies last for a limited time, only at participating Denny's restaurants. A Cinderella Story from Warner Brothers Pictures in theaters July 16th, rated PG. Some material may not be suitable for children.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress, but you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
Remember when the Knack came out? I probably wasn't as affected. You weren't probably as affected as I was. Everyone,
no.
There was like they were hated. It was a huge hit, but people who were really sort of diehard punk or new wave fans were like, these guys aren't the real thing. The Knack aren't the real thing. You know, Jared in Chicago, buddy, if you want me to share the points you're making on the blog with the rest of the people of the world, maybe don't call us bastards.
Uh-oh.
How about that? He's like, say it, you bastards! Deregulation creates more litigation. It's a good point. It's interesting. Worthy of speculation. I want to, and we will speculate maybe in the next hour, but we're shifting gears. I want to play that Cheney clip again because I screwed it up with trying to be funny. Can we hear it again?
They don't want to see reform of that system. I think it's because, frankly, they are too close to the plaintiff's attorneys that benefit from the system and the way it operates today.
Now, clearly, what this says to me is that these guys got nothing.
Very little.
And they got no plan for a second term. They got nothing.
They have no plan for a second term. But one thing they do have is the ability to enact tax cuts that help the richest Americans. Does that include me and you, Marin? I don't think so.
I don't know. Hold on. I'm getting a call on the phone that I had planted in my head for $300,000.
Oh, was that that sprinted to death?
Very high tech. Yes, it's part of the benefit of the commercial.
And you get any time, minute, how many?
Wait, I'm checking my email in my head.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the Bush has not articulated a plan for his second term. Should he win one? And there are people that are questioning that, you know, exactly what his agenda is going to be. Apparently, he's keeping it close to the vest until right around the time of the Republican National Convention.
And he's going to just come out and go, Iran!
Yeah, Iran. Iran, Syria!
Here we go! Get ready, get on board! I'm the wartime president. Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, he is talking about the, you know, the war on terror. I don't know why he's talking about the war on terror, but he is talking about continuing to wage the war on terror. And Maren, we've seen in the last week or so that war on terror does, in fact, include the possibility of some sort of intervention inside of Iran. And we're going to get a little later on this morning into exactly what's going on with Iran, because Bush and the acting CIA director, McLaughlin, yes, are at odds over the issue of Iran.
Well, Bush was talking about some sort of weird stealth thing that's not going to require. Maybe McLaughlin is going to do some magic.
Yeah. That's right. He is a magician. Yeah.
We're also going to talk to Anonymous in a bit, in the next hour. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to maybe shed some light on, you know, what terrorism is.
Yes.
This broad term that they use. There's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. 1, start calling everyone girly man as a sign of liberal solidarity. 2, book Las Vegas show, then at last minute have Linda Ronstadt go on, just to piss everyone off. 3, at Democratic convention, set up hospitality tent for Sudanese refugees. All they have to do is buy a ticket to Boston. 4, organize Boston prostitutes for Free Love for Carrie night. Call Bill Clinton. Oh. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Our protesters are smarter than your protesters. There you go. I guess we'll see you in the next hour. Hang around.
Yeah, please, hang around. Because we've got a lot more where this
I can't
came
believe Anonymous
from.
Is going to be here. This is heavy stuff. That book is heavy.
Heavy, yes. Anonymous, the author of Imperial Hubris, will be joining us. Plus, Terror Watch looks at the latest in Bush's war, The Dream Diary, and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Halliburton is back in the news, and again, the news is not favorable. Grand jury has issued a subpoena to the Oil Field Services Company to gain information about its Cayman Islands operations work in Iran. United States government precluded American companies from doing business in Iran. Halliburton, once headed by Vice President Dick Cheney, confirmed the probe of its subsidiary work in Iran was transferred from the Treasury to the Justice Department. The Justice Department is already conducting a probe of Halliburton's Brown's Engineering and Construction Unit, better known as Kellogg Brown and Root. President Bush's popularity slip continues to show, and reports this morning indicate that slip is overexposed in four battleground states just 4 months before the election. Reports say Bush is losing the Arab American vote in Florida, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Those states are critical to Bush's prospects for a second term. Bush's decline in the Arab American community was revealed in a recent poll by the Arab American Institute. There's no question the administration's call for war in Iraq and his handling of the Middle East since his election in 2000 has much to do with the burgeoning anti-Bush sentiment there. It's also apparent the Arab American community in 2000 had no clue in what was coming with Bush in office, since they turned out in greater numbers in that contest against former Vice President Al Gore. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry continues to enjoy the support of those who joined him on the front lines of the Vietnam War 40 years ago. One of his fellow veterans says he had implicit faith in Kerry then, as he has in him now.
We support John Kerry today, and I know his crewmates, that if John came up to us today and he said, we need one more swift boat mission, and we may go to hell with this, I need a crew. And I tell you what, John Kerry would have a crew, because we trusted him then with our life, and we trust him now.
Veteran Jim Wasser, one of John Kerry's crewmates in the war in Vietnam. The Democratic Party is getting ready to unleash a series of campaign ads taking aim at President Bush. This is the party's apparent presidential nominee. John Kerry plans to trek coast to coast by train, bus, and boat after next week's nominating convention in Boston. Organizers are hopeful, all hopeful, the convention from July 26th through the 29th of the month will provide the best showcase of the presidential candidate and bring about party unity. Right after the convention, Kerry will place his focus on the battleground states, where polls and political pundits all agree the presidency will be determined there. And the White House is keeping quiet about a proposed cabinet-level position for a national intelligence chief. The president, while not commenting on a proposal, said he was still taking a good look at the candidates to lead the Central Intelligence Agency. A major reorganization of the intelligence community and creation of a cabinet-level intelligence agency are expected to be among the primary recommendations of the nonpartisan independent panel on the 9/11 attacks. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? Get out of debt and get on with your life. Call 1-800-676-9541. Been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Learn how to get out of debt and get on with your life. Call for Care One Credit Counseling Services at 1-800-676-9541. In just one call, you can find out how quickly your debt can be paid in full. People who call for Care One Services save an average of 30% in payments every month. Some can save up to 57%. The credit counseling agencies that give you Care One services are nonprofit. They work with voluntary contributions. So if you're ready to get out of debt and get on with your life, call now for your free consultation and debt analysis. Call for Care One Credit Counseling Services at 1-800-676-9541. That's 1-800-676-9541.
This summer, you're in for a thrill at Radio Shack. Enter our Universal Power Trip sweepstakes with hundreds of prizes, like one of 35 grand prize trips to Universal Orlando Resort. Then get a Samsung A650 color screen flip phone from Verizon Wireless on sale for just $19.99 with new two-year agreement. And Radio Shack! No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes and 729. Void where prohibited. Phone offer good through 728 with credit approval subject to customer agreement and calling plan with Verizon Wireless. $175 early termination and $15 activation fee. Supply details in store.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. We do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
So what else is new?
There's one surprising place that's giving media a big headache.
Documentary filmmakers who certainly don't qualify as traditional journalists. And the media criticism is pretty pointed, pungent, and in some cases, you know, on point.
What do you think of the case against journalism that's being made in those films?
More than a grain of truth. And I also think at the same time that the case being made in some of them is a little excessive.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Tuesday morning, we are doing what we do here on Morning Sedition. We are talking, being funny, you know, purveying information, speculating, conjecturing. Is that a word? Conjecturing. Blogging. MorningSedition.com. Got a lot of stuff coming up this hour. Got Anonymous, the author of Imperial Hubris, which is coming up momentarily. I, if you're curious about me, as some of you might be, maybe, and you're in the New York area, Laugh Factory, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, four shows. You can go to TheLaughFactory.com, or I believe that will take you to the New York, give you a link to the New York website. It's a new club. If you've never been to see comedy in New York, I've never played at this club, but it's in the old show world.
Oh, yeah.
Right by the Port Authority.
Maybe the horse's place.
Yeah, so it'll get you into a historically sleazy part of town, into a brand new comedy club. And there's something about, you know, decades of sleaze that I'm hoping will, you know, make the comedy, you know, I'll work off the ghosts of the room.
Now, they've converted the room, right? You don't have to, like, walk into a little room and then...
Yeah, they clean the floors.
Slides up and then you start talking. It's not like that, right?
Yeah, I come up in a cage, and it's weird. It's required of me to wear pasties and a thong. And you know why that's weird? It's because, like, who wears pasties? I mean, can you... I was like, can I show my boobs? And they're like, no, we're trying to run a family show here. I'm sorry for the image.
No, it's not that. Yeah. It's just that I know that place for so long. Not that I've ever been in there, mind you.
It's Mark Riley's History of New York Filth moment.
That's right. But I had a really funny experience there. Not in there. I was walking by there one time, and a very close friend of mine was walking out the door.
Sure,
and stuttered for 5 minutes. Not that I know any of the showgirls by name.
No, I know, but you got a friend that does.
Yeah,
he tells you all the information in
detail.
Tells
me everything.
Yeah, how much the drinks are.
Sort of like your boy Ramon.
Yeah, Ramon. the guy with the information. It's hilarious. So I think it's going to be a good weekend, and I'd love to have you guys come out. I believe I'm doing Tough Crowd this evening.
Uh-oh.
I know I'm doing Tough Crowd this evening. And I think there's a new protocol over there. I think Colin's having everybody stand.
Really?
Yeah, for a while it was like, we're not going to give you the topics. You know, it's important that you have the topics so you can, you know, think, write a couple points of view, you know. And then he said, no topics, just wing it, which is fine.
Okay.
And now apparently I saw him at the Comedy Cellar on Friday. He's like, here's what we're doing. Everyone's standing up. No one sits down. You just stand like it's a conversation. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, that sounds good. I think they did it last night. You know, I wonder how it looked just standing around. I guess it's got a sort of street corner vibe. I just wonder if you're watching it going, why don't they sit down? Who took the chairs during the studio? Yeah, maybe we can all start singing
fun
little dance number.
Yeah.
So we got that going on. I want to thank all my fans for recent fan mail. I'm going to leave it at that.
You're not going to do this.
No.
Come on. I'm just reaching out.
Got an interesting, letter.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. You know, I think that they know what I'm talking about. And it was very intriguing and compelling. Good reading. That's all I'm going to say.
Give me a ticket for an airplane. Not that kind of letter.
Get in trouble.
Yeah.
But what else have we got? Is the world ending?
Well, it is because I can't pronounce the word hubris, according to our senior producer, Jonathan Larson.
Hubris.
Hubris.
You pronounce it in...
I just call it hubris.
Hubris, that's the classic Greek way to pronounce it. Maybe Jonathan's out of the loop. Yeah. Some people pronounce it hubris.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The old English 800 version.
Just because it has been deemed appropriate by civilization to pronounce a word in a certain way doesn't mean it can't be pronounced the way it looks by people that want to pronounce it that way. This is a free country. That's what freedom of speech means. It's the freedom to mispronounce a word when you read it the way it's written. Do you understand?
That's right.
That's what the founders of this country wrote in the Constitution. It's your choice. The founders of the this country based a constitution on an amendment that says, look, if you want to mispronounce a word out loud in public, that's your prerogative. You have the freedom to do that. And if anyone criticizes you, you tell them, God bless America.
That's right.
And to hell with you for having the hubris for judging me. I'm exercising my constitutional right.
That's right. You got a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, exactly. Chutzpah is right.
That's right. You know, since the handover of power in Iraq, watch this segue, Mark.
That's good. Sounds good.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of chutzpah.
Speaking of chutzpah,
these
right?
These insurgents. Oi!
Well, you know, there's been less and less coverage of Iraq in the media. And,
as we projected would happen.
Yeah, and less coverage of the war on terror in general. We here at Morning Sedition, on the other hand, want you to know that our commitment to keeping you informed is not over. Each day, we present to you, our listeners, Terror Watch, the latest from Bush's failing effort to make the world safer. On top of the list today, Mark Maron.
Yes, sir.
The U.S. casualty rate in Iraq is rising. In June, in July.
Higher than June.
Yes.
It is escalating.
It
the war on terror is being won. It's not being won in Iraq.
No, it is definitely not being won in Iraq. And it's making people think that this guerrilla war that's going on is going to continue and is going to continue to cost more and more American lives. What's troubling about this rise during the month of July is the fact
it's
that...
It's a vacation month.
That's number one. People are going to be heading to the beach.
In the past, insurgents usually take a break. They take July off. They maybe go down to Morocco or Saudi Arabia to swim. I'm sorry.
What has happened is that the insurgents have been targeting, since the handover, they've been targeting Iraqis, Iraqi installations, Iraqi police stations, Iraqi police. Yet, as that happens, more and more Americans are dying. So you see, like before the handover, the insurgents were definitely targeting American troops. That
right.
was a given.
Right.
Now they're targeting Iraqis, but they're killing more Americans.
How so? How does that happen? Because the Americans are called in to they're targeting Iraqis, and then to bolster Iraqi security forces, the Americans.
The Americans are still in many instances involved in joint patrols with the Iraqi police force. You know, they're still supposed to be training them. They're still supposed to be getting them to stand up and fight these insurgents.
And I imagine a lot of these are, you know, Iraqi nationalists, not necessarily jihadists or al-Sadr people. The insurgency is so diverse now. The one thing this president has achieved in doing is unifying the insurgents, and you're really strengthening the jihadist cause by bringing them all together under one. You know, once, and I think Anonymous will definitely.
Yeah, he's going to talk about that. And see, here's the troubling part from an American point of view here. They're in bringing all these people together, nobody knows exactly who it is that's at the root of the insurgency now. Who is it that's doing these kinds of attacks that are killing so many Americans? Is it al-Sadr's people? Are they former Saddam loyalists from
Zarqawi?
The Ba'ath Party?
Is it
Zarqawi?
New
got renegade, a different agenda?
They're Al-Qaeda franchises?
Exactly. They've got all these different groups of people that have come together inside of Iraq and finding and gathering intelligence, short of Abu Ghraib-like stunts, isn't becoming availing in terms of trying to find out who is at the root, because you can't fight them unless you know who they are.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And
the new guy, Alawi, is now, whether it's true or not, is letting himself be mythologized as a strong arm type of guy who would shoot. There was a report out yesterday, or actually I think the report came out a few days ago, that he lined six dudes up in a police station who were actually guilty of crimes and shot them each in the head. And they deny it. Negroponte denies it, you know, but he says that what difference does it make?
I'm cracking down.
Yeah, I'm cracking down. This is a guy that's, you know, We'll talk more about Alawi and his myth.
Well, yeah, we have to talk about that because that story was, I believe, in the Sydney Morning Herald in Australia.
And we'll hit some other stuff about Iraq, and then we've got Anonymous coming up that's going to give us a fairly grim outlook. So stay with us for that. It's always good, grimness in the morning. We'll be back.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Are we here? Well, you know what time it is now. Mark Riley, I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. The Marks.
Yes.
As they call us. Time for my dream diary, which I bring to my therapist on Thursday, but this is last night. It's getting good. It's always interesting, my head. Here we go. I'm Dick Cheney's doctor, and he's come in for a checkup. How do you like that? Or in his case, a tune-up. He turns to me, he said, "You're not a pill head, are you? My last doctor took more pills than Judy Garland." I say, "No, sir, I'm drug free, but thank you for asking." He says, "Let's get on with it, you quack. Stop wasting my time." Cheney takes his shirt off. Now I realize that's why doctors get paid the big money. His surgical scars look like a New York subway map. The blue veins take you all the way to Jamaica, Queens. And his breasts, well, if they were on a woman, his lesbian daughter would probably be asking for her phone number. All right, I listened to his heart. It sounded like turbines spinning underneath the Hoover Dam and kittens being blasted through pneumatic tubes and tiny nuclear explosions and Hurricane Andrew. There was a titanium outlet at the base of his skull where he was connected directly into the Matrix. He's full of questions. Am I strong enough to campaign? Am I strong enough to retreat to an undisclosed location and rule as a shadow dictator? Am I strong enough to love? I say, no, Dick. You'll never be that strong. And at this late date, love could kill you. A dark cloud passes over his glasses. I say, let me give it to you straight. The only thing holding you together is spite. He's turning red. He's setting to blow. He yells, would you replace me with the on the ticket? Calmly, I say, in my professional opinion, yes. Just then, an alien ate its way out of Cheney's chest and slithered across the floor, looking for a new warm body to plant its eggs. I woke up, and my bed was filled with rectal thermometers. I think I blew a beep there somewhere in the midst of that. You know, there was a lot of bleeping going on.
You were fine, man.
That was beautiful. Now it's very exciting to introduce our guest, a 22-year veteran of the CIA, author of Imperial, it is a tough word, Imperial Hubris.
Hubris.
Why the West is Losing the War on Terror, senior CIA analysis, head of the Osama bin Laden Task Force from 1996 to 1999. Anonymous is on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
We're doing pretty well.
Good.
So as a current member of the CIA, how could your book have gotten published?
Well, it had to be reviewed for classified information or any other sort of information they didn't, my employers didn't want to be published, but it got through and nothing was excised out of it.
There was no excising?
No excising at all, no, sir.
So the CIA is obviously pretty aggravated with this administration.
Well, I don't know if you can read that into it or not, sir. I simply got a communique back after I submitted the book that I could go ahead and publish it as long as I remained anonymous and I didn't name my employer.
Okay. So you assert that another devastating terrorist act is coming for certain. Do you think it could be a coordinated attack to sway the election, or what do you think?
I don't think bin Laden cares all that much about the election, sir. You can't rule it out, but bin Laden is a guy who moves at his own pace and at his own time. When he's ready to attack us, he will, whether it's on election day or before or after. I think it's wise to take the precautions, but he's a man we've never been able to influence in terms of timing.
Why do you think all this?
Well, we've looked at him for a pretty long time, sir, and he seems to be, the real deal.
Yeah.
He's a very strongly devout Muslim on the one hand and a very much a 20th century manager, CEO type man on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very long history of eluding our efforts to stop him.
What was the single major mistake that the United States government made in pursuing the war on terror?
Oh, I think in the first instance, it was not using our own troops in 2001 in the fall when we had them cornered in a place called Tora Bora in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
We relied on surrogates, and they let him get away. They were people who had fought with him previously, so it was rather unreasonable to expect that they were going to stop him. More recently, I think the Iraq War was a huge benefit to Osama bin Laden and people that think like him.
How so?
Well, leaving aside entirely Saddam and whatever threat he posed and what weapons he had, Iraq is the second holiest place in Islam. And if we moved into there as we did, we would be occupying then the first holiest place, which is the Arabian Peninsula, Iraq, which is the second holiest place, and then the third holiest place is occupied by the Israelis in Jerusalem.
On the Temple Mount?
Yes, sir. So it's really not a good idea to occupy the three holiest sanctities of 1.3 billion Muslims.
So now let's flesh out a little bit, because I've read a bit of your book, and you say that the United States, in their perception of the terrorist threat, there's a misinterpretation going on about what Islam thinks of us.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case, sir. It's one of the reasons I called it imperial hubris is we tend to think, under Democratic and Republican administrations, we claim that bin Laden and his like are attacking us because they hate our society and our freedoms and our liberties, and they're out to destroy those things. Well, there's a lot to be said about them disliking our way of life, but the fact is their war is motivated by the impact of our policies in the Muslim world.
Right. Now, let's speculate a little more. Now, this you're talking about George Bush, who represents the Muslims as having this beef against our way of life. Do you think in any way that our president is playing his side of what you're portraying as a holy war? Do you think that there is a Christian element to how he's fighting this war?
I'm saying he seems to be a devout Christian himself, sir, but at the same time, Mrs. Clinton, senator from New York, says the same thing, that they're out to ruin our democracy and our liberties, and the previous president said it. Other Republicans say it on the president's side. I think it's a common belief or a common assertion, and I think it has more to do with political correctness than it has with really anything political in the country.
So you're saying they're getting it wrong because they don't want to offend the local Muslim community here in America?
I think I think not only in America but around the world, I think they really misgauge the degree of dislike there is for American policies in the Muslim world.
And what about moderate Muslims?
Well, I think the genius of Bin Laden lies in the fact that the policies he's focused on to describe as attacks on Muslims are pretty much perceived across the ideological spectrum in the Muslim world as attacks on Islam. Whether it's our unqualified support for Israel, our ability to keep oil prices fairly low, our presence on the Arabian Peninsula, the holiest of all Muslim sanctities, I think that across the spectrum in the Muslim world, Bin Laden draws support.
Well, let me ask you a question, because he characterized it as politically correctness, but couldn't it be just an attempt to be diplomatic?
Well, it could be an attempt to be diplomatic, except there has to be somebody out there listening if you're going to be diplomatic or if you're going to engage in public diplomacy. And I think, you know, for the first time in the last several years, we've had scientific polling by Western companies in the Middle East, and some of those polls in the Muslim countries show 80 or 90% of Muslims opposed to our policies, and at the same time, they show majorities who really are admiring of our way of life.
Hmm. Our guest is anonymous, the author of the book Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. Talk, if you would, for a moment about how much what we see going on in the Middle East has to do with either an Islamic and or an Arab identity. I know they're not the same thing, but do they have an impact in the developments that we see going on in the region?
I think they do. I think we're melding the two between the Islamic identity and the Arab identity over the past decade or so because of, well, for one thing, the great impact that Arabic satellite television has had in the Islamic world.
Right.
Muslims in the Philippines, for example, are much more aware now of what Muslims in South Africa are doing, or Muslims in America know what's going on more easily with Muslims in Thailand. So the mass media has done a terrific job of starting to create a worldwide Islamic identity. Not to say that it's united, there's a great deal of diversity, but Muslims are more aware of their brethren elsewhere in the world than they ever were before.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, Anonymous, we want to ask you a little bit for an insider's perspective on the Central Intelligence Agency, an agency that's been rocked by criticism both from the Senate, from Congress, and, of course, from the 9/11 Commission. And straight ahead, the liberal confessional, more from our guest, Anonymous, and Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Rags to riches. It's the American dream. But here's a reality check. Today, a child born in the poorest American families has only a 1 in 3 chance of ever rising above the bottom 20% in income. And that child has almost no chance of making it to the top rungs of the economic ladder. Studies show that moving up the economic ladder is actually easier in countries such as Germany, Canada, Finland, and Sweden than in the United States. Here's one reason. In America's top colleges, which often lead to the best jobs, only 10% of students come from families in the bottom half of the earning spectrum. Rags to rags and riches to riches is now the norm in this country. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for restoring the American dream. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush is turning his attention to the issue of whether the nation of Iran played a role in the 9/11 attacks on the U.S. in 2001. Bush's decision comes at a time when Democrat John Kerry appears to be closing the gap on who voters think will keep America safe. The president, according to a new poll, appears to be losing considerable support in the Arab American community with the election just 4 months away. There's also word that Bush is losing support in that traditionally Republican stronghold of sportsmen who hunt and fish. President is still reportedly mum on what he would do in a second term. Bush has been on the campaign stump, asking voters to support his quest for another term. This without detailing a plan to make the nation stronger and safer than before. And two organizations backing the candidacy of John Kerry, MoveOn.org, and Nonpartisan Common Cause, will be petitioning the Federal Trade Commission in a complaint about Fox News' use of the promotional slogan, Fair and Balanced. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
My life was on the line and they saved it. Thank God for Life Alert. I owe my life to it.
Senior citizens can live feeling protected at home rather than facing a retirement institution. Life Alert provides constant monitoring protection, which allows independent living in the comfort of home. For a free brochure, call 1-800-588-3133.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone, and I realized that I had to do something, take better care of myself. Life Alert is there when I need them, and I feel I can depend on them.
If a senior has an emergency, help is immediately available at the touch of a button, even if the senior can't reach a phone. Life Alert Monitoring Center is on the line and links to local police, fire, and paramedics. For a free brochure that lists all the services and assistance available with Life Alert, call 1-800-588-3133 today. That's 1-800-588-3133. 1-800-588-3133.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. And college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finish. And you say, no, we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
Tuesday on the Al Franken Show, the man who puts a smiley face on the dismal science, Paul Krugman. He's a professor at Princeton and a columnist in the New York Times, but now he's ready for the big time. That's right, Paul Krugman joins the most exclusive club in the world, the Al Franken Show regulars. Join us as we blindfold Paul and then paddle him silly. Tomorrow on the Al Franken Show.
Thirty-two past the hour, morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley on the phone. Hey, the author of Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. Anonymous is with us. Welcome back to the show. Sir, what I'd like to ask you now is why, as you state in your book that I read do you think that George Bush is definitely the terrorist choice of president?
Well, That, I think, is their own view. My view is that our policies are the things that are causing the number of people, the large amount of people who are supporting Osama bin Laden, whether they support him rhetorically or martially, if you will. And the president has presided over a continuation of American policies in the Middle East that have been more or less on autopilot for the last 25 or 30 years. They've not been discussed, they've not been debated, they've not been changed. Perhaps the only difference between this president and the last one was the open-handed support he's given to Israel. So I think they're pretty happy, our enemies are pretty happy with the way our policies have fallen out, and that's my argument in the book.
So why would they prefer Bush over Kerry?
Well, what they've written is they're afraid that Kerry will be just as strongly in support of Israel, but will talk with a less harsh tone and fool some people. But basically, American policies are what they're concerned with, and it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
I get it.
Now, you know, you've talked referred a couple of times now to the whole issue of the state of Israel. And in many cases, you hear people in discussions about Iraq or the war on terror generally. It all seems to come back to the state of Israel. So let me ask you this. Are most Muslims, in your judgment, prepared to accept the existence of the state of Israel?
Well, that hasn't even been, that's not even on the table, I think, at the moment. We are wholeheartedly in support of what Israel is doing, so I don't think there's any perception that there is a chance for a two-state solution or a two-party solution out there.
But I mean in the Arab world. Are ordinary Arabs, ordinary Muslims, prepared to, because, you know, people talk about these different organizations who are committed to the destruction of the state.
Yeah.
And I want to just get a baseline idea of whether or not people are willing to accept the state in some form.
I think if they perceive that the United States was an even-handed broker as it was, say, 30 years ago, there would be some support for that. I don't think there's a lot of support for it at the moment, but I'm not a pollster. I don't know for sure, but my impression is that there's not a lot of support at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of George Bush's claim that not only is he winning the war on terror, but since the war in Iraq, that Americans are safer?
Well, I think that there's no other way to get away from what I said in the book. I don't think that's the case. I think we've misunderstood our enemy over the last 12 years. The book is designed not to either bash the president or President Clinton. The book draws a target, if you will, on senior-level policymakers who I don't think, senior-level civil servants, who have not given either president top-flight service in terms of describing the threat overseas.
Right, but there was, you did say that there was a failure in Afghanistan to get bin Laden in this second attempt, not
yes.
by Clinton, but by Bush, and that there was a movement into Iraq that was probably premature, yes?
Well, it's hard to argue. The military used of our soldiers is up to the generals on the ground. And they chose not to risk their own soldiers and use surrogates instead. It's hard to blame presidents, I think, either Democrat or Republican, for some of the absurd things that either military leaders or senior civil servants do.
But they have to take responsibility as
a commander-in-chief. Oh, absolutely, of course. And the president, both presidents have said, the last two presidents have said, you know, the buck stops with me. I think that's very true, and that's the way it should be.
Mm.
But if you look back over a dozen years, they've not been well served by their senior civil servants.
Mm-hmm. Who in particular are we talking about here? I mean, just by title.
Well, I think surely the Secretaries of Defense and the Director of the CIA and some people on the National Security Council were not entirely frank with the president for whatever reason.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is anonymous. He's the author of Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. Let's talk about intelligence for a moment. There have been some proposals that have come out of the reports from the Senate Intelligence Committee specifically and some of the 9/11 report that talk about the possibility of setting up a sort of super intelligence chief, somebody that would coordinate the activities of the CIA, FBI, et cetera. Good idea or bad?
I think I would have to see the plan on paper first, but I'll tell you that I don't think it's a good idea personally. I believe that the system needs to be made to work. The problem I have with all of these commissions is they all seem to be blaming the structure of the intelligence community or the organization of the intelligence community, and they've made no one personally culpable. And I think until you decide whether or not there was personal responsibility for 9/11 among the senior leadership, I think it's very hard to just go ahead and change the structure of the community.
But didn't Tenet take the fall for intelligence failures for 9/11 and to a lesser extent Iraq?
I don't think really the American people understand exactly the workings inside the intelligence community and what fault there was and what sort of negligence or dereliction there was along the way.
Do you want to flesh it out a little bit?
I'm sorry?
You want to flesh that out a little bit, as what you see as the faults were in the, within the intelligence community?
Well, you know, the one thing that keeps up coming repeatedly is that information wasn't shared, particularly from, as I recall, the CIA to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that in my own career, there was no information that was collected that wasn't seen by the FBI. Indeed, they were reading the same computer I was reading, the same files I was reading. There was never any information held back from them. Where the breakdown came was they simply didn't do the hard work of taking the American-related information and sending it back to their headquarters.
So do you think then, from what you're saying to me now, that the reason the FBI were let off the hook in terms of, you know, in light of what the CIA is taking a hit for was specifically to not make the people in America feel unsafe on a national level?
I think there's part of it is that, and part of it they decided they would all go down together. I think certainly what you're seeing happening is in the war of terrorism, the CIA is incomparably the most competent organization in the American government, vis-a-vis the war against terrorism and fighting it overseas instead of in America.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the DCI decided as I said, we would all go down together. And so at the end of the day, he's dulling the blade of the one agency that can protect us overseas.
Quick question. What is the final solution? If you assume that the war on terror is mired right now in a serious state of stagnation, what's the solution to all of this? Is the only solution an actual war on the part of the United States?
I think what we've done is gotten ourselves into a box where the military option right now is the only one we have. And until we change our policies, it will remain about the only option.
Which policies in particular, and how could we change them?
Well, you know, that's the hard part. We have to discuss if we should be, for example, less open-handed in our support for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We have to certainly, at some point along with our Western allies, move toward energy self-sufficiency.
Right.
We probably don't gain very much in the Muslim world by supporting the Russians in Chechnya, for example, or the Indians in Kashmir.
But isn't Israel the only democratic state in the region?
Well, sure. That's what they claim. I always assume that it's probably a little less democratic for its Arab citizens than its Israeli citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, the Americans have a choice between war and endless war. And the only way to defeat bin Laden or bin Ladenism is over time to cut into his potential for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that is to at least debate the set of American policies which he has focused on. And at the end of the debate, you know, perhaps Americans will decide they want to keep going with the same set of policies. But at least they'll know that's an answer that will continue to cost them blood and treasure for the foreseeable future.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Anonymous. Who are you going to vote for?
maybe they'll both choose again.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining
us.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
That was Anonymous, the author of Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. We'll be back in a moment.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built. with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
I got to tell you, that was kind of an exciting interview.
Scary.
It was scary, but, you know, it was at a certain point, you know, we crossed.
Yo, war, an endless war?
Oh, yeah.
That's scary.
And I felt like he was really on the second half of it, really started to talk a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. It was pretty good stuff. Right now, since the handover of power, we are exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 23. Leaders of Iraq. Leaders of Iraq! We hear that in their religious zeal, some Iraqis have been blowing up liquor stores. Bad, bad idea. The corner liquor store is also the cornerstone of every thriving democracy. You may not see it this way, but booze is one of the nicest things you will ever do for your people. Uh-huh. It relaxes them. They laugh. They get laid. They fall asleep. And don't take this the wrong way, but your country could use a happy hour. You guys haven't had one happy hour. You've had one happy hour in maybe like 2,000 years. Look, America was founded on booze. We would have had at least a dozen revolutions by now if not for alcohol. In the 20s, we were stupid enough to try prohibition, sort of like what you've had for centuries, only without the jazz and the flappers. Bad times. Yeah. Remember, when people drink, they don't think. And that plays right into your hands. You don't want people thinking too hard about what your government is doing for the next few months. It'll be ugly, and they'll need to drink. Plus, if you're going to be chopping off hands, it's a damn good anesthetic. Really cuts down on the bleeding and the screaming. Remember, the right to get hammered is up there with the right to free speech. Free slurred speech. So good luck, and God bless. This is Day 23 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Let's take a few calls, 866-303-2270. We've got to have some speculation on that interview, I would think. I'd like to hear from some moderate Muslims in our audience in terms of what they feel, what line they're crossing. Because in the book, he actually says that initially many moderate Muslims, whether people here knew it or not, were very much down on what horrible thing happened on 9/11.
Absolutely, yeah.
But since, as Anonymous said, there was an attack on sanctified ground, on holy ground, that the Muslims considered holy ground, that the moderate Muslims have begun to change their loyalty, not in terms of being American, not being American, but being sympathetic or not being sympathetic with bin Laden's cause.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You see this whole notion of sacred holy ground being made manifest in exactly what you just did with Iraq, Birth of a Nation, where you have fundamentalists going around Baghdad, blowing up liquor stores. And by the way, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The other thing that's happened is that a lot of these fundamentalists have attacked women on the streets of Baghdad who are not fully or properly clothed according to whichever Muslim law.
Shia law.
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to have a... I don't know exactly what it was. I don't want to...
I've noticed it more now, like out where I live in Astoria. I've noticed a tremendous amount of headdress on women that I never really... I've seen it a little bit, but either the population is growing or more people are becoming more religious in that way. I don't know.
Well, see, that, the interesting thing about this...
Maybe I've just become noticing.
But, I mean, when you look at it in terms of Iraq, remember that Iraq was a secular state for a long time. That was Saddam's big thing.
Yeah.
Women could walk around without the clothing.
Right.
You know, women were going to colleges and universities. Women were involved in all kinds of different professions. This was all under Saddam Hussein, as brutal and repressive as he was. So now you have people coming in to fill the vacuum of Saddam Hussein's departure with the kind of strong Islamic law that, by the way, rules Iran right next door.
Well, I think that's the fear, too, is that some of it's been speculated on pretty good information that some of the insurgency is being trained by Iranians, Muslims. 866-303-2270 is our number. Give us a call. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt, where now we're down to just our mortgage.
Just imagine the financial freedom of being debt-free.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. Call 1-800-300-4662. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. 1-800-300-4662. That's 1-800-300-4662.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves. Some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
We're back. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. We're taking calls from Muslims and also anyone who's responding to our interview with Anonymous. It was very interesting. We have Muhammad in New York. How are you, Muhammad?
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing? What's on your mind?
Well,
Well, I've lived in the Middle East for about 23 years of my life. And
yeah.
And I lived here another almost 14 years.
Yeah.
And I have, see, I used to have some way of thinking when I was there, which completely different now.
Well, now, in how, in what do you mean?
You see, in the Middle East, people think that Americans, they have the power to change things.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here and after all this time in the States, I realized that Americans have the power just one day every 4 years. That's it.
Hmm.
Once you have a president in power and once you have Congress in power, that's it. There's nothing for you guys can do.
So,
yeah, but remember, people in the House of Representatives are elected every 2 years. So theoretically, you do have a chance to change the power every other year.
You're right.
Let me ask you a question, Mohammed.
Sure.
When you say that when you were speaking as a citizen of the Middle East and you said that they have the power to change things, which way were you talking about?
Okay. Like, for example, the consistent help from the States to Israel, which, of course, people in the Middle East hate the most.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like there's absolutely no reason for the States to do that.
Well, in other words, to fund Israel at the current level? Which is, what, about $3 billion a year?
No, it's not only the money, because Israel is already rich, and they can make more money if they want to. That's not the point. The point is everything they do in the Middle East, every disaster, every genocide, anything they do, it goes to the UN, and America just vetoes it.
Are you talking about when you say they, you're talking about the Israelis?
Right. So, and this makes people in the Middle East feel like, why the States not being fair?
So you're sort of saying what Anonymous says in his book a bit, in the sense that, you know, most of what is going on in terms of the Islamic Jihad is in response to the situation with the Palestinians in Israel and also to the situation in occupied holy states. But at the core of this is the Palestinian-Israeli situation. Okay. All right. It intense. Randall in New Jersey, how are you?
Hey, Randall.
Yo.
What's on your mind, man?
I'm a U.S. Army retired. I spent some time in Saudi Arabia and whatnot.
Okay.
You know, this guy, Imperial Hubris, he hit some really good points there.
Right.
And, I mean, one of the first things is that these people are not out to destroy us. These people are out there to, like, live their own lives, which
right.
we don't seem to understand. This
right.
whole thing about them trying to destroy us, that's just, like, for, you know, public consumption.
Right. For you mean to get the votes.
Well,
right.
politics, yeah.
Exactly. One of the things that you did that whole thing, alcohol thing,
yeah.
right after, you
yeah.
know. These people pray five times a day. You know,
yeah.
the religious right in this country, if we go to church once a week, that's a big thing for us.
Yeah.
Religion is so part of their culture
yeah.
that every decision is made through a religious focal point. And we cannot appreciate that. You know, there's such a gap between what our perception is of what they want and what we want that we really have to start to reassess this entire thing. There's certain things that to them are just they have a certain clarity there. The whole thing about Israel, very, very important. The thing that they have American troops, all across the Muslim world, we have American troops. They don't like us. I mean, you don't seem to understand. We're saying we're trying to promote a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the Soviets going into Czechoslovakia in 1968
right.
trying to promote communism, okay?
Yeah, okay. Thanks for your call, man.
Democracy
we've got to get
is the point of a gun.
These calls, you know, I get this feeling in my heart, I get a tightness in my chest that there's something at the core of this that is seemingly unresolvable. The choice between war and endless war, you know, is haunting me.
That's what scared me about the entire thing with Anonymous. When he said that, I'm saying, what are my grandkids going to experience out here?
Wow.
It's incredible. Still to come in the next hour of Morning's Edition, our conversation with a member of Congress with the brass to tell it like it is, plus Recovery Corner, the presidential palm pilot, and more here on Air America Radio.
Hey, okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. Hmm? You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. It seems the Bush White House is focusing on whether the Middle Eastern nation of Iran played a role in the 9/11 attacks in 2001. The Central Intelligence Agency has already confirmed that was not the case, but the president yesterday said it will continue to examine the phenomenon. The president's comments on Iran curiously come at a time when his Democratic opponent, John Kerry, appears to be closing the gap among voters on who they think will best keep America safe. Air America's Morning Sedition featured this morning an interview with a former Central Intelligence Agency operative and now author who only identifies himself as anonymous. He's written a book called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. 22-year veteran of the CIA offered some sobering thoughts facing Americans today on their future. He points to a choice of war as opposed to a protracted period of war.
I think the Iraq War was a huge benefit to Osama bin Laden and people that think like him.
How so?
Well, Iraq is the second holiest place in Islam, and if we had if we moved into there as we did, we would be occupying then the first holiest place, which is the Arabian Peninsula, Iraq, which is the second holiest place, and then the third holiest place is occupied by the Israelis in Jerusalem.
On the Temple Mount.
Yes, sir. So it's really not a good idea to occupy the three holiest sanctities of 1.3 billion Muslims.
Guest author, only known as Anonymous, as he appeared on Air America's Morning's Edition this morning with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. President of the Philippines confirms that a Filipino hostage has been freed in Iraq and that he's healthy and well. Breaking a week-long news blackout, President Gloria Arroyo went on national television to confirm that Angelo de la Cruz has been freed by insurgents who captured him nearly 2 weeks ago. She says she's happy the truck driver is coming home, but warns that insurgents are continuing to mount attacks and kidnappings in Iraq and that other innocents won't be as lucky as de la Cruz. She didn't mention the criticism her nation has taken from allies for meeting the kidnappers' demand that the Philippines pull its small troop contingent out of Iraq and early. Lebanese-born U.S. Marine Corporal Wasef Ali Hassoun insisted that he was kidnapped by insurgents under mysterious circumstances and said he was still a loyal U.S. Marine. Hassoun said he did not desert his post. He said he was captured and held against his will by anti-coalition forces for 19 days. He said it was a very difficult and challenging time for he and his family. He was joined at an impromptu press conference yesterday outside the Quantico Marine Corps base by his older brother who arrived from Utah. And Iraqi officials say a council member running for governor in the southern city of Basra was killed as he left for work this morning, along with his driver and bodyguard. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
More and more people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T-cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Randy Rhodes.
When Republicans talk about Hitler, like they know. There was something creepy about that ad. They took it down, though. That's the point. So we made ourselves known to them.
Air America's Randy Rhodes.
I just wanted to say, Republicans, you don't have to be that desperate. There are a lot of difference between Hitler and Bush, and Democrats would be the first one to admit that. For instance, Hitler was elected.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning's Edition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning. Here we go. It's Tuesday. That gets me primed for the talking.
There you go.
I'll be at the Laugh Factory this Friday and Saturday, laughfactory.com, New York City Laugh Factory. If you'd like to come down and see me at the old show world. Right next to Port Authority, where you can still smell the pee in the seats. I don't know that. Actually, it's the first time at the club for me, and I'm very excited about it, and I'd love for some of the Morning's Edition fans to come down. Sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow progressive path from time to time, so when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning's Edition liberal confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, I have taken money from a huge telecommunications company called Sprint. I have appeared in their television advertisements.
I see. But where have you transgressed?
Well, I took the gig because I have Sprint, But to be honest, I know some people who have had problems with Sprint, and I have problems with that. Right, by endorsing this, am I making someone's life harder or less convenient somehow? I just don't know. On the other hand, I also have guilt about saying anything negative about my employer. Where's my loyalty? When did I become a whistleblower? I'm in a corporation-induced existential crisis, Mark.
I see. Go on.
Times are tough, Brother Riley. I need the dough. And besides, I actually use Sprint. Even through the tough times, I've used them. So it's not like I'm shilling for a product I've never used, like Kotex, maybe. So I have two choices. Either I accept this, or I move off the grid and stop using any electrical appliances. And then I'm not sure I'm ready to become Amish, Brother Riley. The simple life scares me a little, and the beards, it's weird.
Be of good cheer, my son. Your intentions were honorable. Uh-huh. You did not deliberately set out to deceive the American people. Uh-huh. You were paid fair market value for your skills as an entertainer.
Uh-huh.
Every company will have its flaws because companies are made up of human beings who are also flawed.
Uh-huh.
The sins of the corporate father shall not be visited on the son. Let uh-huh. this serve as a lesson. Let not your pocket be enriched, if your soul shall not profit also. As a penance, set aside an hour a day for 7 days to read Noam Chomsky and reflect on the excesses of global capitalism.
Thank you, Brother Riley.
Go and sin no more.
Now, is that any Noam Chomsky?
No, specific Noam Chomsky.
Okay, we'll go over that later. Thank you. Thank you for absolving me of that.
Amen.
Me and Mark get a laugh from ourselves.
That was fun. Yeah, right. We did a little radio drama.
Radio drama. There we go.
So now, the campaign, the ex-EPA chief, who was...
Russell Train. Now, this is a guy who served under both Nixon and Ford from back in the day. And, you know, this is back in the time when I used to go out partying all night and things
right.
like that. So I remember Russell Train.
So this guy knows Republican environmental policy.
Yes. And he says Bush is not doing it right.
He's the worst.
Yep. He's saying that he is not following in the grand tradition of the environmental policies of past Republican presidents. Now, I don't know who he's talking about specifically. I mean, maybe Ronald Reagan was a tree hugger and none of us knew. But the fact is, he's saying George W. Bush is, you know, absolutely the worst when it comes to his policies on the environment.
Well, it's pretty clear. I mean, he stifled and redefined a lot of regulation to obviously help the corporations continue to pollute. I mean, when he was in Texas, it had the worst air quality ever. I mean, he's definitely sympathetic to oil companies, you know, and
yeah.
a lot of the facts are skewed. You know, after I'm going to get a breakdown of all those facts.
Well, Russell Train was kind of slamming him for actually allowing so much excess on the part of many of his corporate buddies, saying that he was actually he had a pollution protection policy.
Right.
And that he allowed a lot of these companies to just slide by the wayside when it came to, actually going after and enforcing existing environmental law. And where environmental law got in the way of corporate America, Bush actually tried to push the environmental law aside.
And speaking of corporate America, Halliburton has been subpoenaed.
Yes, now that's good news. That should be good news to the American people. This has to do with, and see, this will show you how lax and slipshod these people are.
Yeah.
This has to do with whether or not one of their subsidiaries was illegally doing business in Iran. Not Iraq, but Iran. They ripped people off in Iraq. Two of their people in Iraq actually had to plead guilty to siphoning off money over some gas contracts. But that's another story for another day.
Well, listen, as Halliburton said, it would comply with the subpoena and reiterated it believed its links to Iran through the Cayman Islands unit.
Yeah.
Were in compliance with applicable laws and regulations. And I've added, and if not, we're confident that our lawyers can bend those laws in our favor.
Bend those laws. What is at issue here is that doing business in Iran is currently illegal for U.S. companies. Halliburton is arguing that we have a subsidiary on, guess where, the Cayman Islands, which is the subsidiary
no
capital
tax
of the...
land.
Yes.
We live in no tax land. No tax land.
Sorry. Yes, Dodgerville.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're making the ridiculous claim that because this subsidiary was not subsidiary
yeah.
was not actually inside the United States, it was cool for them to do business with Iran as long as Halliburton's officers were shielded from it.
Right.
Is this the policy that Dick Cheney is reaping benefits from? By the way, he's got his money in a blind trust. We should say that. His Halliburton stock and his money and all that. But, you know, he gets paid. He gets his money.
I wish we could figure out how to put one of those, like, time tickers. Like, if we knew how much money went in on a daily basis into Dick Cheney's blind trust.
Yeah.
And it just had the dollars ticking by. Like,
ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
I wish we could put that on our blog.
And see, this goes back to the very beginnings of the Bush administration.
I just thought you said this goes back.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I was like, here we go.
Burn, baby. Oh, no.
Yeah. So this goes back to the Bush administration. What were you saying?
It goes back to the very beginning. Remember something. Let's chart a quick chain of events here. You have Dick Cheney, who was appointed by Bush to find a vice presidential candidate. Who does he find? He finds himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I got a good idea.
Me.
Get
out of the way. Here I come.
Now, Bush isn't dumb enough to know that Cheney represented at that time big oil, a big oil player, Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cheney comes in. They put together an energy task force. To sit down and formulate Bush's energy policy.
Yeah, give me Ken Lay, Michael Milken, and whoever other criminals are around.
Around, and let's sit down. Now,
Wasn't Schwarzenegger there too, supposedly?
I don't know if Schwarzenegger
was
there.
I think the rumor was that it was Schwarzenegger, Milken, and Ken Lay. And I can speculate. There's no real evidence of this meeting, so why not? And you know what? I think there was a doggy there too, a doggy named Joe.
Yeah, and that's the problem,
sir.
Nobody knows because the Bush White House has refused to release any of the transcripts of any of the meetings that took place. And, of course, what came out of those meetings was a very corporate-friendly environmental policy, which now, of course, Dick Cheney, through his blind trust, is benefiting from. Don't think for a minute that this government, John Ashcroft, is seriously going to go after Halliburton for, essentially devising a Ponzi scheme so they could make money off of the same fundamentalist Islamists that we're supposedly fighting in Iran.
I think that's the new campaign slogan. Bush and Cheney, the next big Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, I mean, it was a straight-up Ponzi scheme. And speaking of Ponzi schemes, we're going to be in this hour talking to a lady who called the Republican Party on their 2000 Ponzi scheme because it took place in her home state. We're talking about Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown. She represents Jacksonville, Florida, a city I know a little bit about. And, you know, she said what a lot of people were feeling but were afraid to say. Let's listen to what she said on the floor of the House of Representatives, which was stricken from the official House record.
I come from Florida, where you and others participated in what I call the United States coup d'etat. We need to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Over and over again, after the election, when you stole the election, you came back here and said, get over it. No, we're not going to get over it. And we want verification from the world.
Wow. You know what? It sounded like they were carrying her out when she was saying the last part. Now, she said this last Thursday on the floor of the House. Now, there are literally thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of black people in the state of Florida who have felt exactly the same way. And by the way, who were not happy with the fact that the Democratic Party, by and large, did not have the stones to say what Congresswoman Corrine Brown just said last Thursday on the floor of the House.
Yeah, that happened right after the election.
Yeah.
The stolen election. I can't wait to talk to her. Corrine Brown's going to be with us after the break, so stay with us on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yow.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
How about that? Some Stooges for you.
For y'all.
That's not the Stooges? It's MC5? All right. Hey, it's 19 past the hour. I got the presidential Palm Pilot here from my buddy Biff in the Oval Office. There's a president scheduled for today, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up in a cold sweat. Meeting with the economic advisors in 1 hour. Damn it. Why is everyone so hung up on money? I never worried about it. 8:05 a.m., meet with economic advisors, then meet with economic spin advisors. We've turned the corner. That's the message. 11 a.m., leave White House for Midwest. Put on leather flight jacket for 10-minute helicopter ride. Make funny helicopter noise in the back seat. Futilely, I'm assuming. 12:40 p.m., speak at Community College, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tell students, this is my kind of college. Not like Yale with all those snotty eggheads, stupid classes, and books. 3 p.m., use infrared laser on helicopter to cut weird crop circles into cornfields. Note, hit Congress up for a new weapons system to fight alien invaders. 5:30 p.m., speak at rally, St. Charles, Missouri. Big closer, unveiling a 50-foot Michael Moore pinata. Hand out re-elect Bush Cheney bats. Leave quietly during bloody candy riot. 10:05 p.m., arrive back at White House lawn. Moon traffic helicopter near the Washington Monument. 10:30 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Cornfields. Candy. Republicans. Good day. So, as we wait for Corrine Brown to get on the phone, we should say also that she was appeared in that
Fahrenheit
montage.
Yeah.
What was that about? What was going on there? They needed a senator to sign a petition to protest the election.
Yeah, to actually begin an investigation of the election. They couldn't get anybody to sign, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. We're going to talk to her about that. We're going to talk to her about what went on last week. I just think it's very interesting that these accusations are still so prevalent in everyone's mind. That everybody knows that these guys stole the election.
But see, here's the thing that got her in sort of hot water.
Yeah.
She was one of a group of Democratic congresspeople.
Yeah.
That wanted to bring in the United Nations to monitor this November election here in the United States.
That's pretty heavy.
It's extremely heavy, and it made a lot of American lawmakers very, very nervous and very angry and upset.
Yeah, I'm sure they felt insulted because it's insinuating that our election system is completely fraudulent.
Yeah.
Based on the last year's elections, like a banana republic.
Yeah, and Americans don't like this. It's like weapons of mass destruction. Everybody can have, nobody can have them but us.
Right.
Well, it's okay for us to have them because, we're Americans. Well, it's okay for us to have questionable elections that are decided by 537 votes and then later by the United States Supreme Court because we're American.
That's unbelievable. It still blows my mind.
Well,
537 votes. How is that possible?
Well, think about this for a second. If you were, let's say we were in a different country, and you were elected, and the reason why you were elected was that the state where your brother was governor ended up being the place where the election was decided, what would people say?
Oh my God, this is a banana republic.
Hey.
Now on the phone, Democratic Congressman for Florida 3rd District, 2nd Vice Chair.
Congresswoman, sorry. Why did I say that?
Yeah, why?
Democratic Congresswoman.
Good morning.
It's Corrine Brown is with us. How are you, Corrine Brown?
I'm doing great.
I apologize.
And I live in the state where the governor's brother, the governor, is the brother of the president. What a problem.
I can't even imagine what it's like down there. So now, last Thursday, you got into a little fight with Steve Beyer, Representative Steve Beyer. Now, what exactly happened for those of our listeners that don't know?
Okay, first of all, let me just set the frame.
Yeah.
Myself, along with Eddie Bernice Johnson and other members of the Congressional Black Caucus and others, sent a letter to the UN asking them to come and monitor the election. He had an amendment that would stop any funds for that purpose.
Yeah.
And so he was discussing, well, what would happen if you wake up one morning and the UN is there monitoring our elections? Let me tell you, we go and monitor people election all of the time.
Yeah.
I've been all over the world. I've been to Haiti. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Russia. Why is it that we have certain rules that don't apply to us?
So would you call it censorship then, pretty much?
Well, gag, censor. They did not censor me, but the point is that we were trying to say that we had the worst, one of the worst elections in the history of the United States in 2000. And, you know, we all agree with that, but the problem is that with the governor's brother, I mean, the governor is the brother of the president, they're trying to put a system in place that we will have that same problems in 2004.
Yeah,
incredible. Same problems. I mean, I don't know whether you saw 9/11, but in the end, they said President Bush said, you know, what's a fool? But we're all going to be fools again.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Brown, I'm curious. You live or you represent Jacksonville. I'm assuming part of the North End.
I represent the heart of downtown Jacksonville, where during the 2000 election, you know, a lot of people don't know, 27,000 votes was thrown out, not counted.
No one said
anything about it. And the supervisor of elections didn't tell us. You know, I personally could have asked for a recount because I was on the ballot given 72 hours. They waited way past that time. And then they announced, and the question was that we were talking about 500 votes. And the supervisor just casually mentioned, by the way, we threw out 27,000. In precincts in my district, 7, 8, 9, and 10, that vote 98% Democratic, they were African Americans.
How did they throw them out?
They had old machines.
Uh-huh.
And the machines would not register the punch cards.
Right.
And so it just spit them out, and they just had them there, and they would not count them. So they had no intentions of counting them. They even got machines and brought them down from Miami, you know, that could count them right quick. They would not count those.
So that on top of the purge of the rolls.
Oh.
Yeah, the felon rolls.
Yes, and let me tell you about that. I met with the civil rights community about a week ago. One of the things in the negotiation was that the innocent people that they kicked off the roll, which was thousands African Americans, put them back on the roll. And let me tell you how they had a system where if your name is similar to mine,
right.
They just took us all off.
Right.
And so, but then they had a rule saying that if you want to be put back on, that you have to go to the FBI fingerprinted in order to be put back on the roll. So therefore, that's a poll tax.
Oh,
I mean, it's awful.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Brown, I want to talk a little bit about what happened last Thursday on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Okay.
And I want to try and put that in a little context. We have black female legislators in Congress, people like Maxine Waters, people like yourself, people like Eddie Bernice Johnson, who are very vocal and who speak out. People like Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Sheila Jackson Lee.
They all spoke on this issue.
But they all end up paying somehow. When Barbara Lee voted against authorizing the president to go to war, she was called everything but a child of God.
Well, voted against it, yes.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to get from you real quickly is whether or not you feel that your colleagues sometimes try to focus on and somehow denigrate black female members of Congress.
Well, I guess the black females are very outspoken. Now, let me be clear. I voted against the war, too.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, but it was it was something dealing with some kind of assistance equipment to them. But I voted against the war, and clearly, you know, I feel vindicated because we went to war based on lies. Well, that's what I said. But going back to the 2000 election, I said if a person would lie about stealing the election, they'll lie about anything else.
Okay, we're going to take a break here in a minute, Congresswoman, and I just want to also, when we come back, hopefully address, you know, what kind of success you're having in the community and getting mobilizing people to make a change.
Okay.
All right. Don't go away. We've got more with Congresswoman Corrine Brown, Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, and you on the phones here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat trying to settle a leadership crisis decides not to keep it in the family, so to speak. He decided to name a new security chief over his cousin, whose appointment triggered a weekend of violence by protesting gunmen. President Bush remains on a slippery slope among American voters in the battleground states. His latest worry is a rampant decline in support among Arab Americans who would prefer Democrat John Kerry replace him in November. Democrats in California were in attack mode yesterday, after state Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger referred to the Democrats as girly men, this in a dispute over the passage of the state budget. Two well-known organizations in the activist community, MoveOn.org and Nonpartisan Common Cause, will be petitioning the Federal Trade Commission in a complaint about Fox News today and the use of the promotional slogan, Fair and Balance. Both are charging the network with consumer fraud. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Need cash fast? Call Fast Cash Loans by phone. You can get a paycheck cash advance up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. Call 1-800-279-3114. Even if you have poor credit or no credit, you can get fast cash. Every day, fast cash helps thousands of Americans make ends meet. So if you need cash, don't sweat it. Call Fast Cash now at 1-800-279-3114. When you call, you can get a fast cash application sent to you within seconds. The money you need is deposited straight into your checking account. There's no embarrassing trip to a loan store, no more borrowing money from your family. So if you need cash fast for any purpose, call 1-800-279-3114. You can get up to $500 deposited straight into your checking account. It's quick and easy to apply. And you can have the money you need within 24 hours. So call Fast Cash now. 1-800-279-3114. That's 1-800-279-3114.
Look, kid, are you sure you want me to tattoo Air America Radio onto your forehead?
Yes, I do. Stop! Don't let this happen to you. Now you can let people know you're an Air America listener without painfully disfiguring yourself. Log on to AirAmericaRadio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner for t-shirts, hats, boxer shorts, barbecue aprons, and more.
Ow! What's that address again?
That's AirAmericaRadio.com. Wear the air.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered. It's an unfiltered look at veterans for peace. Which former servicemen are putting their back to Iraq? How did our brave war president and his ungentle geriatric general close the easy path lane to our heroes in uniform? You must be an officer and a gentleman to receive medical attention. Straighten that line. Suck in that gut. Don't miss Unfiltered.
This Wednesday, Chuck D and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Past the hour on the phone, Democratic Congresswoman Corrine Brown, we are talking to and have been for a few minutes. Congresswoman, what, now what happened on Thursday? Did they, it sounded like they almost dragged you out of there.
They dissed you.
What happened was that I told Steve Boyer that he, well, I could have said the Republicans stole the election.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make a point that I knew he was involved. He was down in Florida trying to intimidate the judges. I personally saw him.
Yeah.
And so I said, you was involved in the coup d'etat.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, well, he wanted to take my words down. And, you know, and they did take my words down, but because so many people, I guess, called in, they took my words down. Usually when they take your words down, you can't speak for the rest of the day. But they waived that.
Uh-huh. So now wait. Now,
and so, and I wasn't censored. They just took my words down, so the words not in the record.
So they struck it from the record, but they let you keep talking.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, did you get any support from the Democrats in the House at the time?
I was very pleased with the Democrats. Every single Democrat voted with me. Every last one of them.
Really? Now, does that mean that they're in favor of having the UN monitor?
Oh, no. Every last one didn't vote for that. They voted that. I think maybe 30 voted not to have the UN monitor, but every single one voted that I that my words should not be taken down.
Right. So,
I mean, only in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, the People House, that you're going to be gagged for telling the truth.
Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah. So now what are you doing on a community level to heighten awareness in Florida, and also what do you see as the primary threat to the elections in Florida coming up now?
Okay, well, the first thing, you know, I've done was, you know, the movie Fahrenheit 9/11. I took over 2,000 people to the movie with me.
Oh, that's one good way.
I did it in every city, a major city in my district, Jacksonville, Orlando, and Gainesville.
Oh, wow. I think that's great.
And I'm hosting the National SCLC's convention at the end of the month. I'm the national chair, and I'm going to show that movie at the convention. So I think that's one step. And I've also talked to Mr. Michael Moore about coming to Florida. But that being aside, I have met with the civil rights community about the felons and the innocent people that the governor has kicked off the list. And I don't know whether you know that civil rights commission had a hearing Friday, and one of the major points was that, once again, African Americans that vote, you know, 98% Democratic was on the list, and they only had, I think, 60 or 65 Cuban Americans that vote Republican. That's right. And then they had a very small number of Republicans, but everybody on the list predominantly was Democrats, and they were African Americans. So once again, in Florida, the devil is in the details. But they've also passed a rule that you can't use a paper trail. Now, you know, what is that?
I know.
Setting up a system that you can steal the election again. One of the things, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or Independent, you should want a fair election.
That's right.
And you want an election that's transparent, that everybody can look at it and see whether or not it was fair. Now, we go around the world monitoring other people's elections. Why is it that you don't want people to come in and monitor ours?
Congresswoman Brown, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Are you in the tub?
I'm not going to tell you.
Congresswoman, let me ask you this. By the way,
I didn't know this was an X-rated show.
No, it is not. No, look at
it. I thought I heard water splashing.
Yeah, right. Our guest is Congresswoman Corrine Brown from Florida. Congresswoman, Senator John Kerry says he's got lawyers that are going down to Florida. They're actually starting to do the work now to see to it that there is an accurate count that comes out of your state. Are you confident that the Kerry campaign is aware of the problem and, you know, really has their eye on a solution here?
Well, I personally talked talked to Senator Kerry about it, and he had indicated that he was going to get a team of lawyers. But let me tell you something. After what happened in 2000, we had an election here in Virginia, and they had lawyers in every single precinct, and I recommend that. But let me just quickly say that if you're just talking about election day is over because the fix will be in, you need people to come in before the election, check out the machines. And, you know, I met with one person that, you know, there are 1,700 scientists that indicated that there's something wrong with the machines.
Yeah.
I met with the leader, I think it was Dr. Deal, last week, and he's indicated that they can program those machines that will say, count every other Democrat. You know, we got a major problem, and we need people in early. You cannot wait until election day to think that you can go and observe.
All right, Congressman, why don't we take some calls? You want to?
Oh, yeah.
Take your calls, 866-303-2270 for Congresswoman Brown, 866-303-2270. We'll see you or talk to you in a minute after the break. Thanks.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Okay, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Ryland, Morning's Edition, while we're lining up your calls. For Congresswoman Corrine Brown, I'd like to say, Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. Look, I'm always talking to you, George. Today, I'm going to let you say a few words, George W. This is from your weekly radio address, Saturday.
We're making progress in changing the culture of America from one that said, if it feels good, do it, and if you got a problem, blame somebody else. to a culture in which each of us understands we are responsible for the decisions we make in life.
What are you talking about? I mean, you're talking the talk, but the walk is weaving and stinking, my friend. The word responsibility in your mouth should burst into flames and consume your tongue. Dude, I have seen a lot of denial in my time, some of it from me, but you turn it into an art form. If it feels good, do it. If you got problems, blame someone else. You've got to stop saying this stuff. When you were a baby, you said it's his fault before you said dada. And even and ever since, you've been saying dada, it's his fault. We know you're a taker, not a giver. You've taken undeserved credit. You've taken health care from poor people. You've taken millions of dollars from corporate creeps. But there's one thing you've never taken. Responsibility, my friend. That's right. Take it now. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. It's alcoholism, not wasm. First things first, get to a meeting and don't drink. Here we go. Congresswoman Corrine Brown on the phone with your call. Susan in Manhattan, WLIB. How are you, Susan?
Hi, Susan.
Hello?
Hi.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I saw Corrine Brown, and she was marvelous. I was watching C-SPAN.
Uh-huh.
I want to know why all the Democrats present in the chamber didn't get up and walk out at that point, which would have at least attracted the media, the quote-unquote mainstream media, and they would have had to report on this, and it would have been alive elsewhere other than on Air America.
Okay, let's see what she has to say about that.
Well, you know, I was really pleased during the discussion. The question was whether or not all of the Democrats would vote with me, and every single one voted with me. So I was very pleased with what happened.
Oh, okay.
I'm very grateful that they all, to a person, voted party line and to let me not take down my words.
Right. Okay, thanks. Here, Brad, what do you got, Brad?
Hey, Brad.
Are we a third world country now that we want the UN to come in here and, mm-hmm. and the transparent thing? I mean, I don't understand the rhetoric except for one reason, is because Democrats used to get away with saying anything about anybody and there was no recourse. Now we got a lot of pundits on the other side that are answering to these calls.
What's the question, Brad?
The question is are we a third world country that we expect the UN to have to come in here and monitor our elections?
Okay, okay, thank you.
Oh, you know, that's a very good question. Why is it that it's okay for us to go around the world monitoring other people's elections and we don't want them to come and monitor ours? I mean, why is it that we feel we should have a different standard? If we're going to set the standard, everybody in the world had questions about the 2000 election.
Exactly. It seems that Brad was willing to dismiss those questions that apparently the entire rest of the country had about the validity of that election.
That's right. But we go all.
Wait, he's still on the phone. Go ahead, Brad.
Go ahead.
You were saying, you said, I don't understand that the rest of the country wanted these questions answered or thought that it was a poor vote. The rest of the country did not believe that it was a wrong vote.
Do you
have a television
show? The rest of the country, please.
I received calls from all over the country. But the main point is, if our election crash in Florida, it affects you in New York, California. So we're in this together. But I think it's a bigger question. Why is it that we feel we can go to Russia, we can go to Haiti, we can go to South Africa, we can go all over the world and monitor other people's elections, but yet we don't want them to come and monitor ours?
It's hilarious.
It's a different standard.
Yeah, but it's amazing to me that he was like, where's the rest of the country? It's like most people voted for Gore, so that
there's
would...
no question.
Yeah.
And most people in the country voted for Gore, and most people in Florida went to the polls trying to vote for Gore, but they didn't know that it was a system in place that disenfranchised thousands of people.
Yeah, we got a question from Minnesota about that system. Mark in Minnesota, what do you got to ask Congresswoman Brown?
Yeah, good morning. Good
morning.
Good morning.
From a state that went from a wonderful Democratic state to almost a fascist Republican governor now. And the concern is this is almost a blueprint for the 2004 election preparation processes. And is anybody else looking at other states to find out where the purging is continuing on by the same company that did it in Florida with the same standards? Number two, I hear constantly people, and I'm sorry to say even you guys have mentioned the re-election campaign of George Bush, and it's not a re-election campaign because he was appointed or installed. This is actually his election campaign.
Okay, so
point well taken.
Congresswoman Brown, the purging, is that being instituted?
Yes,
when I met with the civil rights community about a week ago, they are looking at other states.
Okay.
But let me just point out, it's only 6 states in the whole country, most of them in the South, that after you, if you've had a problem and you serve your time and you're released, you want them to become citizens and get involved, we do not automatically grant you those rights.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the main point is that thousands of people on the list are not felons.
Right. So we got someone in Pennsylvania that wants to ask, Ray, how are you?
Hey, Ray.
Hi. How you doing? Congresswoman Brown.
Yes.
You rock.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have been calling and telling me that I rock. What does that mean?
That means that you are a true public servant.
Thank you.
That you are interested in what's best for me and for the people of this country. It doesn't mean that you have your own interests ahead of ours. It means that you are excellent. And let me tell you, I haven't said that about a single, well, one other person, Gavin Newsom in San Francisco. So he's the only other person I think that of.
Great.
All right.
So do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Congresswoman Brown, how can I help you? How can I serve you?
Thank you, Ray.
The Florida election.
Okay.
Well, pull up my website. We're working on how we can make sure that what happened in 2000 don't happen again. I think it'll be up in the next few days because we want to get people involved. We want to get them into the state.
Yeah.
Help monitor the election. I mean, we really need to shine the light on Florida because
absolutely,
if we're not careful, we will go through and they put a system in place that they can steal the election again. And people say, well, coup d'etat, stealing, those are very strong terms. That's what happened, folks. That's what happened.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, do you think that those machines, that the specific faulty machines that they put into the black communities was done on purpose?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
And now the assumption is that with these new electronic paperless voting machines, that they can rig them easier and cleaner and there's no paper trail at all.
That's correct. But why would you put a rule in place statewide that you can't have a paper trail?
Yeah,
what is it?
There's no explanation for it.
Oh, it is an explanation.
Yeah, they're not going to say that one. Congresswoman Brown, it's been a pleasure having you on our show.
A real delight.
Thank you so much for calling me.
You bet. Have a great day.
I'm closing with
time to dry off. Thank
all
you.
Right. I mean, she stayed in the tub through the entire break.
That was beautiful. So I guess what, we're going away now. We'll come back in a minute or two. Thanks for being with us on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
New York City in summer. You know how hot it gets. And if you have leaky, drafty windows, you know what that does to your energy bills. That's why now's a great time to replace them with custom-fit windows from Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-448-6600. Call now and save 15% on select styles. Sears double-paned extra-strength windows have insulated frames, and this combination may help you reduce your energy costs. And Sears makes getting your new windows simple and affordable. So call 1-800-448-6600 and save 15% on select styles. Offer ends July 31st. Ask your representative for offer details and written warranty. Services and materials provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. So don't go another summer without the energy efficiency of Sears replacement windows. Call now 1-800-448-6600.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Mouthful of bagel.
Chewy.
Morning's edition. Coming into the final run here for this morning. That was funny.
That was funny.
Congresswoman Corrine Brown in the tub.
Yeah.
Giving us the whole interview. That was hilarious. She was great.
She was really great. We have to have, next time she comes to New York, we have to have her come in. I know it's early in the morning for, you know, folks to, elected officials to come into the studio here, but we should be able to get a couple.
Oh, next week?
Well, next week, the week after? Yeah, next. Well, she'll be in Boston next week, so she couldn't come to the studio next week.
Right. Next week's going to be interesting. We're going to have some reports coming down from Boston.
Yeah.
We're going to do some reporting on the convention. We were going to go to the convention, but then we realized, let's see, what happens at the convention from 6 to 9?
Maybe Abso-freaking-lutely nothing.
Corner some people at breakfast, you know what I mean?
Or people leaving the hotel bar late at night.
I don't guess we'd get an interview with Ted Kennedy at breakfast, but maybe.
You're going to go there.
I'm kidding. I love Ted. Love them all.
By the way, can we talk about this? A couple things. One, somebody is challenging the fair and balanced thing, aside from Al Franken. This is Fox News.
That's a real lawsuit.
Yeah.
Can I mention that I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in scenic Times Square? Not really in Times Square, more Port of Authority.
8th Avenue, baby.
8th Avenue, which is Times Square. But if you've never been to what was once the capital of sleaziness, in Manhattan, there was a day back in the day where I understand that 8th Avenue was just a parade of hookers and transvestites.
I wouldn't know.
Okay, all right.
I'm only kidding. Yes, it was a trail.
Like in the late 70s. And the Laugh Factory, as I understand, is actually in the old Show World building.
Yes.
So there's a lot of perverse ghosts that I'm going to work off of. So if you go to laughfactory.com and go to the New York Laugh Factory button, you can buy some tickets, come down and see me. I'm sure it'll be a fun show. Now let's talk about this lawsuit.
Okay, now that's this weekend, right?
That's Friday and Saturday.
Friday and
this
Saturday.
Weekend.
I'm also, four shows.
Four whole shows. I'll be headlining. And I'll be on Tough Crowd tonight. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's going to be me and Keith Robinson, Corey Kahaney.
What time is
Wayne
that on?
Fetterman, I believe. That's on, I have no idea. It's on Comedy Central.
There you go.
On, I think it's on 11:30. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, some of you may know that Fox News, specifically the Fox News Channel, uses the slogan fair and balanced to describe what it is that they do. Now, two political advocacy groups claimed in a petition with the Federal Trade Commission that fair and balanced constitutes deceptive advertising.
Right, and they're using that new documentary outfoxed as proof.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This was MoveOn.org and Common Cause.
I didn't see that yet. I really need to see it. Do you think we'd have a copy upstairs? There probably is one.
I have a copy at home, man.
You do? All right,
yeah,
all right,
I do.
I want to see it.
They are asking the FTC to order Fox News to stop using that slogan. Because they say they're not fair and balanced.
And what did they say? I wonder how they're going to respond to that. I mean, it seems like there's a case there, but there's some sort of First Amendment.
Well, the same First Amendment defense that Al Franken used when they went after him,
right,
is now, I guess, going to be the basis of their response to this.
Right. You know, but it fools a lot of people, unfortunately. My father, until I told him that Fox was not fair and balanced. I go, what news are you watching, Dad? Because he'd call me up and he'd just be spewing all the conservative talking points. I'm like, well, where are you getting this? He goes, I watch Fox News. I'm like, that's not real news. He's like, what do you mean? There's a guy telling the news. You know, the thing is, it satisfies people's narrow-minded hostility factor.
It's just so angry and evil.
That's what the slogan should be. Fox, we'll focus your hate. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get you notebooks and pens. Here are your marching orders. One, start calling everyone girly man as a sign of liberal solidarity. Two, book Las Vegas show. Then at the last minute, have Linda Ronstadt go on just to piss everyone off. Three, at the Democratic Convention, set up hospitality tent for Sudanese refugees. All they have to do is buy a ticket to Boston. Four, organize Boston prostitutes for free love for Carrie night and call Bill Clinton. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. Quote, our protesters are smarter than your protesters. End quote. That's it, Riley. Take us out of here.
We're out of here. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Sedition, someone who will be booked today by our booker, the great Renee.
Yes.
Don't miss that. Or Milt Mortensen's latest dispatch from the War on Brains. That's tomorrow's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
See you later, Mark.
See ya.